thought it was safe to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Wednesday.
I'm up over here. I don't know what the problem might be. I'm all where I need to be.
It worked during the test.
It did, yeah. You're up.
Talk radio the way our founders intended. America, where Biden has finally discovered that he really does have the power to close the border just like Trump did. But he only told the people over at Univision. Day 1100, this is not going to work either. And 81, what is going on?
Are you sure it's not on that end? Because...
Yeah, you're up over here.
That is something really annoying.
Hey, buddy, Eric in America, say hello to EZ.
What's up?
Putting the heat in Heather.
Hello.
Hello, Heather. We'll hear from Double H, and Heather has answers next hour. Dark history, top of the third hour. Our buddy John Jensen, the voice of either reason or treason after that.
Or the season.
Yeah, everything on my end looks absolutely stellar, buddy. I don't know what the problem might be, but it's going to put a real kink in the show. It worked when I tested it. You heard it. It sounded just fine, didn't it?
Did it again in queue?
It's not even coming through in queue? Oh, yeah. Anyway, well, I'll work on that, I suppose. Everything looks A-okay over here. I know it's not good radio, but, you know. I saw a lot of audio I'd like to play for you today, and so becoming more and more obvious that might not happen today. Maybe what did Donald do? He broke something else, didn't he? The guy's breaking stuff all over the place. I mean, it did work. Pre-show, I did a test. It worked just fine. Yeah, I don't know what it is. Wow. I guess I'll reboot while I do the show. How's that? It is becoming painfully obvious that this administration is woefully unable to manage our economy. The consumer price index rose 3.5%, and this is stellar economy that's the strongest allegedly in the world, right?
Yeah. What's worse is we have our president today during his little speech with the prime minister from Japan talking about how great the inflation's going, and it's going down. As we get reports, it's going up.
Leading the rise is shelter and energy. Those costs are driving this increase. Energy rose another 1.1% after increasing 2.3% in February. Shelter costs were higher by 0.5%, up 5.7% from a year ago. There's some noise coming out of it. That's a good sign. It's not good. Volatile food and energy components, the core excluding those, the core consumer price index also accelerated 0.5% on a monthly basis from 3.8% a year ago. A total 3.5% from just one year ago, and that's not good. And I'm sure they'll be called out. KJP will be a call out about it today. One good reason is I think maybe this will be a good way to judge how good things are going. The demand for spam is, quote, on fire.
and other cheap canned meats as well, like Vienna sausages. ConAgra, the people behind the Sloppy Joe people, they said the manwich is on fire too. They're flying out the door. That's weird because that's exactly the things I used to eat as a kid. My mom would, we'd have a little cans of Vienna sausage all over the in the pantry, and Spam was a regular thing there too. Not for you?
Oh no, it was in my family as well.
Believe me.
Oh, thank God. I feel better now. Spam, it's a regular item again, they say. The one guy at the grocery store says that he's selling them now at a discount because I'm buying so much of it at the Food Town in the Food Town and the Key Food markets. Chef Boyardee spaghetti and meatball sales are climbing. People are spending their money. They've got to make it go a little bit further. And that includes a lot of canned ham, canned meats.
Ramen noodles.
Yeah. Because, look, the meat, these canned meat frenzy comes as grocery prices have spiked 21% in the last 3 years. Meat is one of the ones that's risen the most. They've dropped the price on a 12-ounce can of Spam from to $4.99 from $6. It was $6. Whoo! We buy by the case at our house.
So I haven't bought Spam in a while. I didn't notice the inflation going on with it.
Yeah, that's a lot. Peanut butter and jelly, also two things that are accelerating in price. People are changing what they buy. You know, if you used to eat, you know, you used to get a nice turkey sandwich in your lunch in high school. Now you pull it out, you got a Spam and which, by the way, I'm not knocking it. Spam and cheese sandwich. It'll stick with you.
Just got to make yourself some Spam Asubi.
Spam Asubi.
Yeah. Delicious.
I don't know. It's not looking good. I do think, though, that there's two things afoot here. He has really discovered that he mentioned to Univision that he might have to fully close the border and that he believes he does now have the power. It's now been explained to him, which is such a load of crap. Everyone in America knows that Trump signed a Remain in Mexico executive order and Title 42 by executive order, and that's what shut down the border.
I just love that he acts like they've been just pouring through legal documents for the past 3 months, just trying to see if he has the power. We're looking to see if he has the power. But when it comes to something like, oh, I don't know, canceling debt, which he doesn't have the power to do, right, he sure can seem to figure out how to do that.
Well, you know, that's purely a campaign stunt. And he may just very well close the border in April, May, June, who knows, by a Remain in Mexico so no more asylum seekers could come here. They got to wait over there. And then who knows, if by some chance he wins the election, he'll say that thing's gone and it will be ollie ollie income free for everyone south of the border will be here. That's exactly what will happen. More gaslighting from Pete Buttigieg this time. You know, we all know it's not when congressmen are being carjacked in D.C. FBI agents are being carjacked, have to shoot a guy in D.C. Not, you know, crime is probably not, under control. Right. Buttigieg. And I don't know why he would be speaking out about, you know, maybe that's the administration call. Look, everyone talk about how great the crime is. We know that they're underreporting crime. The feds underreport crime. Most major U.S. cities, 40% of them at least, do not report their crime to the feds. And in D.C., here's Buttigieg. Reassuring you.
So we need to talk about the reality here. And again, there is a lot of funding and a lot of energy going into telling a different story, especially on ideological news outlets and online. But the simple facts and the simple reality are right here staring us in the face, including the fact that I can safely walk my dog to the Capitol today in a way that you couldn't do when we all got here.
He could safely walk his dog to the Capitol.
literally hours after that segment, two people walking their dogs were mugged in Washington, D.C., one being stabbed repeatedly. That's according to the Washington Examiner. D.C. is extremely safe if you're Pete Buttigieg, who, by as a cabinet member, has full security detail.
Yeah, it's great for him to walk his dog.
Yeah, because 20 feet behind him, guess what? There's a couple of Capitol policemen or a Secret Service or somebody there to protect him. What an idiot. I can safely walk my dog to the Capitol. Why aren't you? Oh, there's no dogs allowed in the Capitol, I would hope.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's go breed. Lhasa Apso. Shih Tzu.
It's definitely a fuzzy thing like that. I don't know. Maybe I'll do some digging.
Let's see. I bet it would, you know. I would love to see what kind of dog he has. But the truth of the situation is in D.C. is that crime is up in D.C. I've had the exact numbers here, and it's up quite a bit. It's not just a little bit, but they want to tell you that it's down. Here we go. No, they don't have it here either. But that is the new gaslight. Oh, crime. The crime. Have you seen the crime numbers? The rate of crime. Murder is down in New York City. Rape is up. Assault is up. Purse snatching, robberies, muggings are all up. No pictures of the dog?
Oh, I can see the one of his that died.
I have a miniature poodle named Rick James who sees the groomer. So I'm
some sort of chunky looking little mutt is what it looks like, kind of.
You got a picture? What is that? Oh, it's got some pug in it, got a curly, yeah. Curly tail. Yeah. Good for you, Pete Buttigieg. I'd go to the worst neighborhood in the state of Florida if I had some armed security guards right behind me.
Well, it's just the irony of the fact that someone got mugged and stabbed walking their dog just a few hours later.
Right.
So
right.
Apparently you can't walk your dog. Which is, that's the case. If I'm that person, I'm going to sue Pete Buttigieg because I'm going to say, well, I felt that I was going to be safe out there walking
you said
my
it
dog
was.
Because Pete Buttigieg said that the
I
streets were safe.
I took the dogs
safe.
Right then, right out. I got stabbed. Thanks a lot. Biden has called for a unilateral ceasefire in Gaza. We all wondered what would happen because now as the protesters chanting, they shut down the Senate cafeteria, by the way. I've got some audio from there, which a bunch got arrested. You can't protest inside the building. And he's at least for 6 to 8 weeks. And that's a fairly lengthy, I think, ceasefire before they go back in. Netanyahu says he still has, there's a date planned for Rafah, and it's set, and nothing's going to stop that date. Maybe it's 6 weeks down the road. I don't know. Here they are in the Senate, the protesters in the Senate. The whole thing is, oh, by the way, there is no genocide. It's official. That's from General Austin. U.S. sees no evidence of genocide.
Mic check! Mic check!
We are Christians for free Palestine!
Christians for free Palestine!
The whole thing is they think that people are starving. And I know there's some serious issues with aid getting to the right people over there. But this whole purpose is they don't want the senators to be able to eat. And their staff to eat because the people in Gaza can't eat, so you can't eat. That's the.
We are here
to pray for the food of Gaza.
To pray for the food of Gaza.
Not bombs.
Pray for food for Gaza, not bombs. Wasn't there, isn't there an organization here in town called Food Not Bombs?
I think so.
Like those are your only options. You get food or you can bomb. That's all you got.
Of course, the fact that they're just going to be, okay, pick up my tray, and I'm just going to go sit and I'll eat in my office today, I guess.
Our scriptures say,
woe to you!
Who eat while others go hungry!
All right. They arrested a ton of these people.
Also, I saw a lot of those people in that protest. They've been eating too while other people go hungry. So, little hypocrites over there.
Congress and their staff will not eat today. The protesters could be heard saying, until Gaza eats. Dozens were arrested. Capitol Police confirmed to Breitbart 50 or so had been arrested illegally demonstrating. They were charged with crowding, obstructing, and incommoding. Or incommoding?
Is that an area, though, that you can just wander into?
I don't know how you get back to the... I don't think so.
Like, don't you need some sort of security badges to get back there? You don't... You can just wander into the Senate cafeteria?
In response to the arrest, the group Christians for a Free Palestine posted a statement on X saying, peaceful protest and song calling for a ceasefire shouldn't be met with policing and arrest.
You're on a...
Then again, we shouldn't have to protest to get genocide to stop in the first place. Well, there is no genocide, I'm here to tell you. It's been it's now official. And they're obviously, since they want a ceasefire and Biden calls for a ceasefire, right? And whatever pressure from the aides, the aid workers that were killed, and the pressure, I don't think Biden's really putting any pressure on, they've had a ceasefire. So now they've moved on to food. There's a constant convoy of food going into Gaza. Who gets it? Who has the arms? Who has the guns? That's who usually gets it. They're building this offshore aid dock, to supply more aid that'll come out of Cyprus. But there's a constant row of food going in there. These people know absolutely nothing of what they're talking about. They have no idea.
And that constant flow of food needed in there was before this happened, too. It's because it's a country that could not support itself.
Right. You're absolutely right. And for those that think that, or you might have some sympathy for Gaza, or you believe that Israel is deliberately killing innocents there, committing a genocide, remember, here's your former saint, Bill Clinton. Oh, boy. You have to do one thing first. I'll play it for you a second. Who explains it all quite well. Which I thought everybody knew, that Hamas was very good at surrounding themselves with innocent civilians and babies and children.
Depends on whether you care what happens to the Palestinians as opposed to the Hamas government and the people with guided missiles. Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Now, wait a minute. Yes, they were. And Hamas is really smart. When they decide to rocket Israel, they insinuate themselves in the hospitals, in the schools, in the highly populous areas, and they are smart. So they try. So they, wait. They try to put the Israelis in a position of either not defending themselves or killing innocents. They're good at it. They're smart. They've been doing this a long time. Look, I don't agree. I killed myself to give the Palestinians a state. I had a deal they turned down that would have given them all of Gaza, all of Gaza, between 96 and 97% of the West Bank, compensating land in Israel, you name it.
They don't want a two-state. That's painfully obvious. But I wonder, once food returns to Gaza, or there's a complete ceasefire in Gaza, what's next? Rebuild Gaza? You must rebuild Gaza?
Yeah. It was an open-air prison, remember? So you got to...
That's right.
I'm sure we'll just start this loop over again. This is the same. They've not changed. The leadership in Palestine has not been different. So what we'll see is...
leadership's not even there.
If they stop... if it's a complete ceasefire, we'll see about 3, maybe 4 months of nothing really going on. And then they'll go back to throwing rockets at Israel and having suicide bombers at the bus stop and because that's what they do.
That's what they do. That's their human condition. They literally are. That's what they're it's almost instinctual to these people now.
And not because of the people. Not because of the average person that's living there. It's because their leadership that is not there, that's out hiding out in Iran or all these other countries and Qatar and just hiding away, being like, oh, the only way thing we can do is just get back at those Jews. So we got to send a guy that's willing to strap a bomb to him to blow it up. Instead of, I don't know, using the couple $100 billion that they have squirreled away to actually build some stuff.
Build an infrastructure, some roads, some, you know, some electric grid.
Yeah, stop maybe pulling up your water pipes so you can make missile launchers out of it.
When we return, a deal, a special at McDonald's has gone viral. They say get ready for the new normal as California's minimum wage increase starts to crush retailers. It's a 40-piece McNugget and two large fries. When we get back, I'll tell you what the bargain basement price is. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship, ended up near the bottom of his class, and won only 1 degree, not three.
Joe Biden ranked 76th in a class of 85 at the University of Syracuse Law School. I mean, this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
I don't eat at drive-thrus enough to notice, you know, price increases. But on days that are rainy and I am forced to come to work in my car, I'll take advantage of that and, you know, treat myself. And then I noticed that I got the stuff, the same thing you always get at McDonald's is used to be six. It was like two double little tiny cheeseburgers and a medium Diet Coke was like $6. And then it was and the other day, last time I drove my car 2 weeks ago, it was almost $12. I'm like, so in California at a McDonald's there, a person noticed they were having a big deal, a sale, a value, that it was a 40-piece, it was a bundled meal, 40-piece chicken McNugget and two orders of fries. With tax, it came to roughly $27. No drinks. And they advertise this as a meal for four. So you each get 10 McNuggets and half of order of fries and I guess some tap water, $12.50 or so a person. A recent study, this is bizarre, in Finance Buzz, they studied McDonald's prices for years. They found that since 2014, their prices have increased 100%. 10 years ago, the average price of a 10-piece nugget was $5.99. Now it's $10.99. People started chiming on this TikTok post. They said they used to be the manager's special in California was 40 nuggets, a gallon of tea, large fries for $20. Here in Florida, a guy posted 50 nuggets here in Florida is $15. 50. In Dallas, they say it's $6.19 for a 20-piece with two large fries. Some people are still stupid. They said, you getting a good deal and you complaining?
I mean, yeah, I guess at that point it is a good deal when everything else is jumping up as high as it is.
MOD Pizza chain there closed 5 California locations strategically 2 weeks before the April 1 hike increase in pay. I mean, you know, I know you couldn't feed four people for $27 in a restaurant. You come close.
Not really anymore. Not in a sit-down restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, even kids' meals nowadays are pushing $8, $9, $10 at a restaurant.
Yikes. 100% in 10 years. That's wild. You just don't notice, you know?
Well, I mean, when everything else is more expensive, right. McDonald's does keep at that, not to say poverty line, but that's where they try to stay. They try to stay right in that line of where it is cheaper to go to McDonald's than it is to go buy yourself a dinner to make.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. For the kids, you mean? For like the whole family?
For a family, yes.
Speaking of fast food, Donald Trump was in Atlanta this morning. He's probably still there. And man, they love them some Donald Trump at the Chick-fil-A. I mean, it is really awesome. I want to play this one cut of this woman. She can't wait to hug Donald Trump, get her a wrapper, and then she freaks out that she got to hug Donald Trump. Here he is ordering, 30 milkshakes?
30 milkshakes.
So can I have 30 milkshakes? Also some chicken.
You sell chicken, right? I'd like 30 milkshakes and also some chicken.
Just, you know, some...
Just chicken, yeah.
Some chicken. He walks in.
Good-looking people. Wow. That was worth it. And I love those, what you have there.
I love that, what you have there. What is that? What do you call that? Glasses? Yeah, they look lovely.
It's art, right?
She's got her nose pierced. He's comedy.
30 milkshakes. And also some chicken. Take care of the customers.
Business good? Also some
chicken. Yes, business is good. He says, tell, are they making a lot of money? Yeah.
Making a lot of money? Everyone's getting rich, right?
You're all going to get rich here at Chick-fil-A.
I'm going to get this woman. She's just so elated.
Sure did. Much better than mine did, so I was going
to... Oh, is that talking to HBCU?
Take care of those colleges.
Sure did. Much better than mine did, so I was going to...
This is Clark Atlanta. This is Stoneman. This is Morehouse. This is Morris Stoneman. Wow.
Isn't that great?
So I don't care what the media tells you, Mr. Trump. Thanks. We support you.
We support you.
Okay, 4 p.m. We've been 4 p.m.
Come here, let me give you a hug.
Please do.
That's how I reacted when I met him, actually. They absolutely love him. The Arizona's got a little problem on their hands. Somebody is looked way back in the law books there, realized there's a total abortion ban in that state and a law that's been in place since, you know, around the Civil War.
Yeah, 1864.
Yep. That's half a century before Arizona was even granted statehood. It was never repealed, and the appellate court ruled last year that it could remain on the books as long as it, quote, harmonized with the 22 law, which is kind of confusing, but the Supreme Court has ruled yesterday that ban is still on the books in the state and is enforceable. And I think people go, they're like, well, what is that? It's a law, and it was put on the books and signed and put in place in 1864, and they don't just kind of, they're not a living, breathing document like you think the Constitution is. If you want to change the law, you change the law.
Yeah, that all the court did was say, hey, this is what it is. Now, if you would like to put in a new law, then go ahead and put a new law to repeal this one and put something new in its place. It didn't say, this is the word of God and you can't do anything about it ever again.
It just says, you know, there are laws on the books. And no matter how old it is, and unless you have done something to change it, you can't just assume. I mean, which people have been doing. There are Planned Parenthood clinics all over the state of Arizona. The Attorney General of Arizona, a Democrat, Chris Mays, said after that ruling she would not enforce the law. Let me be completely clear. As long as I'm AG, no woman or doctor will be prosecuted under the draconian law. The law also states that you could do, it's a felony if you perform an abortion or even if you help a woman to get an abortion, punishable by up to 5 years in jail. You can't just go, well, it's so old and stupid, we're not going to mess with it. Millions of Arizonans soon will live under an even more extreme and dangerous abortion ban, which fails to protect women even when their health is at risk or tragic cases like rape or incest. That's what Biden says.
Yeah, that's why usually once a year, probably near the end of session normally, you see a news report about all these stupid laws that they're repealing.
Yeah.
Because we do. We go through a roll call.
You can't tie your alligator to a fire hydrant, that type of stupid stuff.
And you go through every once in a while, and you go through all the laws and go, okay, what do we have here that's just dumb? And, your wife can't wear a bonnet on Wednesday. Let's get rid of that law finally.
Biden says this ban is cruel. And he also says it's a result of the extreme agenda of Republican elected officials that are committed to ripping away a woman's freedom and vow to continue to fight to protect these rights. It's been on the books since 1864. I don't know who put it on the books. I don't know if it was a Republican or a Democrat or a Whig party or whatever the hell. I just know that it's not a result of extreme agenda of Republican elected officials. It's the result of a law that's 160 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was probably Trump's great-great-grandfather, Donatrice Trump.
What'd you call him?
Donatrice.
Look, and you know, when do we start getting back to, and this is urgent for Americans, to getting back to understanding states' rights and understanding how important they were to the founding fathers? And this is a states' right issue.
Yeah, I think there's so many people, especially on the left, do not understand states' rights. They don't see it. They think it should be just been another rush again. It just drives me crazy every time I see it of all the basically kind of the Democratic shills on X that have all of a sudden started again. Oh, we got to start thinking about abolishing the Electoral College.
Yeah.
And you go,
abolish the Electoral College and increasing the numbers on the Supreme Court. Yeah, padding the
Electoral College does a great job of doing exactly what it does.
We must have an Electoral College or millions of Americans' votes simply won't count.
Yeah. Basically, when you look at it, someone explained to me the LA County has 9 million people in it.
Right.
And that is the same as 4 states combined. So basically, that county has the voting power of 4 states that would not have any power.
Coastline liberals will rule the United States.
It would basically be L.A., New York, and California would L.A., New York, and Miami would basically be the who controlled the country.
This Arizona thing, when Roe came down to 73, the lower court there ruled that they just put an injunction on the 1864 ban, which remained in effect until the Dobbs decision. And, you know, I realized it had a domino effect for a lot of states. So a lot of states had shall ban laws in place that once Roe or if Roe were to ever be overturned, then they would instantly ban it in their states. But they're going to try to put a constitutional amendment for the Arizona Constitution on the ballot in November. We'll see. The clock is ticking. And I think a lot of people in news and especially journalists all around the country are waiting with bated breath to see how long before Uri Berliner, the 25-year NPR radio editor, is fired from his job. He really has put his... He's put his career on the line here, talking about how his colleagues at NPR have lost their way. He's been called a racist already and other ists and phobes and all the other stuff that the progressive left could throw at him. As best as he can determine, he wrote. By the way, he didn't write this for NPR. He wrote for Barry Weiss's Free Press, her new deal. And he says, as best as I can tell, there are exactly 0 Republicans working as journalists in the government-funded organization's D.C. office. 0. There's been no self-reflection on how NPR was snookered into self-serving experts on key news stories. From suggestions of a COVID lab leak to Hunter laptop, NPR has been more interested in delivering progressive talking points of the moment than truth, and dropped coverage altogether when the facts got inconvenient. As a journalism veteran of decades, this is him talking myself, I know that this is not how news organizations are supposed to work. For starters, the correct number of conservatives and Republicans working for a news organization that serves red states and blue states alike should be greater than zero. Your words shouldn't be pre-digested by partisans. They should be your own. When you mess up, you ought to be accountable. As much as the rest of the woke traditional press, trust from the public is cratering. NPR brags that one in three Americans believes what he or she hears from their stations. Never mind those, the two out of three who don't trust what their tax dollars are paying for. Conservatives and moderates that used to listen to NPR have fled. Apparently, it didn't get through to NPR editor-in-chief Edith Chapin. She sent a memo out in word salad style of someone that got caught red-handed. She said, we're proud to stand behind the exceptional work that our desks and shows do to cover a wide range of challenging stories. Not a word on why her staffers self-segregate, you know, by racial, gender, identity, sexual identity. Not a word why they don't hire and won't hire conservatives as journalists. And why many conservatives won't talk to them. And it's all being done with your tax dollars. Bernard went to the execs. He went to the suits at NPR. They didn't have any time for him. No one gave him the time of day. So he wrote this for Barry Weiss's Free Press. He gave the inside story that everybody on the outside that's aware of NPR already knows. Anyone that says, "Oh, that's poppycock. They're very well balanced." You're an idiot.
No, NPR has become a joke of itself.
It is.
It's become in society a joke. Everybody goes in there, you know, it's the Ira Glasses of the world, and they're going to talk really slow, and they're going to enjoy a little tea while they talk to you about how Donald Trump is destroying democracy.
Yes, and they've whipped themselves into this superiority lather that they really believe, because they said it is the gospel truth.
Yeah, and I read this article with that guy talking, and he's right. There was a time where NPR could be considered a public radio. It was a fair and balanced and down the line, and it really was kind of about, you know, really the laptop type time where they just forgot about it, didn't want to talk about it. In fact, I remember articles about how they said they weren't going to talk about it because they didn't think it was real and they didn't feel like it was
yes.
it was up to their standards to talk about.
That's what MSNBC's MO is. We can't let President Trump speak. He might say lies, and we're a responsible broadcaster. We can't allow lies. Meanwhile, if you take the vaccine, the virus stops with you and you can't spread it to anybody. How's that? The guy that wrote this review, David Mastio, worked at USA Today, was demoted for observing in a meeting that women are the ones that get pregnant, not men. Remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this guy, I mean, I don't know that he considers himself a conservative, even he doesn't even say. But he certainly knows that there's only one narrative there, and it's just a progressive gender ideology, typical lefty, censorship. In the old days, leaders of outlets like that would let the principles of independent journalism lead the way, not determine whether or not you get fired. Where am I? It looks as though, I don't know, will the FISA renewal bill going to make it? It's on the House floor as of this morning.
It's going to be close.
They're going to reauthorize FISA, and likely tomorrow, an amendment to end warrantless surveillance is going to be considered by the full House. It's called Reforming Intelligence and Securing America Act, would extend Section 702 of FISA for 5 years, which permits, quote, the government to conduct targeted surveillance of foreign persons located outside the United States. But we know that's been abused. Democrats want the they've teamed up in an effort to include a warrant requirement in the FISA renewal bill. And some said they will not, they would oppose a bill to reauthorize FISA without a provision to end warrantless surveillance. And as you can imagine, Congress has carved out a nice little deal for themselves, requiring that they be informed if they're the ones being surveilled. And they most definitely had to get a warrant for anyone in Congress. And they also have to tell the person that they're being investigated, which is completely...
defeats the purpose of having a FISA investigation.
They voted in favor of a bipartisan amendment that would prohibit warrantless searches of U.S. person communications in the FISA FO-702 database, with exceptions for imminent threats to life and bodily harm, consent searches, or known cybersecurity threat signatures. Chris Rea says, of course, he argues, well, a warrant requirement would endanger national security. We have to be able to spy on Americans without them knowing about it, or national security be in danger. I guess we'll find out if that makes it tomorrow. Man, if I have to say I have a man crush on Lenny Kravitz, I'm just going to say it. I saw a video of him on his tour bus. He's getting off his tour bus at a Buc-ee's. He's, I don't know, in the middle of nowhere. There's a Buc-ee's. And he goes in with a guy filming him. And he buys a bunch of Buc-ee's stuff. He's had loads of snacks, of Buc-ee's snacks. Some people recognize him. Some people think he's just another dude. Although he's wearing leather pants. And this is a trademark look. Leather pants and a mesh tank top. Because he's chiseled and ripped like a son of a bitch. And he's almost 60.
I hope he got some beaver nuggets, though.
I don't know. I don't know how he maintains that body eating beaver nuggets. But now he must be the all-time stud. There are photos and videos gone viral of him working out. He obviously works out a lot. And his leather pants. The dude works out in leather pants and a mesh tank top. Is that all? That's all I've ever seen him wear, is leather pants. Is that his gimmick?
I mean, he likes the leather pants look.
I know, but I think I speak for all men that say leather pants and a workout don't really mix.
Yeah,
I mean, moisture, you can get athlete's crotch.
Just leather pants on a Florida sunny day doesn't seem like a good idea.
I mean, he's doing a full-blown hardcore workout in leather pants. That's a badass right there. All right, when we get back, remember the hot dog vendor dude? The guy stole his ID, used it for 30-some-odd years, married with his name, opened bank accounts, got loans, blah, blah, blah. While this dude spent 400-some-odd days in jail and 140-something days in an insane asylum because no one would believe him, he's about to get paid. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
I'm in my mansion. I've been to jail. I've been to two psych wards. And they still play with me. Look, it's a his and hers. I'm single with no kids.
Terrell Suggs has pulled a gun on a man at Starbucks in Arizona. Arizona?
Yeah, Arizona.
And I think he said something like, pussy ass cracker, I will kill your bitch ass. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
How long has he been out of the NFL?
A couple of years now.
About four or five,
maybe.
You think he's stacked some?
I would hope so.
I mean, he had a couple of big contracts.
Yeah. I'm curious of the dude that thought he was going to get into a fight with Terrell Suggs at a Starbucks. He's still a big dude.
Yeah, he's a big dude. And what is there to fight over at a Starbucks? Oh. Yo, dog, that's my latte. I'll kill your bitch ass.
They probably spelled his name with one L and only one G, and he got all upset about it.
Was the guy that worked there? He was going to kill him. You call that foam, bitch, I'll kill you.
God.
I said light ice. That means take it all the way to the top.
Does that look like light ice to you? I didn't know this. One of the reasons that Biden ran for president, he hopes that it'll be his legacy about keeping his word about this very important topic.
Did you spend a lot of time thinking about what your legacy would look like?
Well, I hope the legacy is that I kept my word, that I said that the reason I was running was to help change the life of ordinary people and reduce the prospect of war. And because of Vietnam...
Was that back on, the Vietnam War?
Also, is that the last war he thinks we were in? Because we've had a lot of other battles since then.
Well, he's trying to get Afghanistan out of the back of his head because he ended in a disaster.
And when I ran, I said that I was once asked, well, why wouldn't, when I was one of 29 years old, I said, it must be a secret. And I said, yeah, the secret you got to ask yourself is, what are you willing to lose over?
He sounds like you've been called to the hospital. Your grandfather's had a heart attack, and doesn't have long. And you're just having a couple of last words before he passes. That's what that guy sounds like.
Timmy, I want to tell you, I lived a great life. And
war in Vietnam.
I opened a Dairy Queen in Missouri one time.
Wow. Former hot dog guy, William Woods. Remember this story? An ID theft story to beat all. Dude that he worked with at the Weenie Wagon stole his identification, used it for 30 years, had jobs with it, took out loans, bought homes, got married with it. He's got a kid that has that last name. Not only that, the guy spent 428 days in jail because they believe that he stole the thief's identification. And then when he kept insisting that he was William Woods, they locked him up in a loony bin for 147 days. And he's had it. What do you think this guy, I don't know, I hope he's already lawyered up to the hilt with some respectable law firm. It was wrongful imprisonment.
Mm-hmm. Wrongful detainment and putting him into a mental house too.
Yes, for almost 600 days of his life.
I still don't understand what the other. Did he just really like that name? Because you didn't steal the identity of a rich guy or a guy with a big family, or you stole the identity of a guy you worked at a weenie hut.
And I don't really even know that he was running from anything. He was young, you know. Was it a revenge? He's mad at this guy? He liked the way he made his hot dogs? Or, you know, because I've read, like, this is the third story. It's a follow-up on it. But I've never heard anyone say, you know, the guy stole his identity because he owed a lot of money in child support, or he did this or he did that. Then he went to Ancestry.com and was able to get a birth certificate. I mean, this guy, he's going to sue LAPD because they're the ones that ruled, the other guy's name was Kiernan. They ruled that his documents were legitimate and arrested Woods for unlawful use of his own ID that Kiernan had stolen from him. He said people didn't listen and they didn't know who I was. I said who I was and they were painting it like I was crazy. And I kept saying I'm not guilty, but they wouldn't believe it. They just wouldn't believe it. He's been convicted of felony charges. He's got to get that wiped clean. He finally got that cop in the University of Iowa to help him, and he stands to be wealthy.
Yeah.
LAPD, maybe, I don't know, a prosecutor. I don't know who you're.
I mean, the guy the city. That stole his identity, if he has any estate to him.
Oh, he's definitely getting anything that guy owns, without a doubt.
I'm going to start working on the screenplay for this, though.
Are you?
Yeah, I think John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell would be.
That's a great idea. Everybody always complains about this. The Postal Service, they just had a bump in their price since January of last year. But they bumped that up to 68 cents. To me, they want to bump it up from 68 to 73. Now, look, to me, that's a bargain. I don't know why people complain about the cost of a stamp. Where else can you hand a letter to a dude and for 73 cents say, deliver this to my grandmother in California, please?
Yeah, they always fight. The UPS does not, you know, the United States Postal Service does not make any money.
Right.
It's a loss, but it is a loss because it is one of the few services the government still does for the people.
And it yes. And it's as, you know, I don't know that I mail anything anymore. Unless I'm mailing a letter.
Well, I barely check my mailbox.
Or a card, you know. I mean, everything else I do, every other bill I pay is online.
Yeah, I'm bad. I will go like 3 or 4 days without even checking my mailbox, and then I'll have to tear out all that junk mail out of it.
Seems like it's a 7% jump from 68 to 73% for first class mail. It's a bargain. Plus, you know, we got a lot of postal carriers that listen to this radio station religiously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Postal carriers keep talk radio on the air for the most part.
And truckers.
Yeah.
And truckers. Don't forget the truckers.
Oh, yes.
apparently, nobody's happy with legal weed. It's you know, it's still on a Schedule 1. It makes it very difficult for entrepreneurs to really make money, big money at it. It's been, they say, not a real unqualified success for anybody. It's widely available. It's commercial. You can get medical, marijuana related charges that people had have been dropped. The stoner culture is a little less Cheech and Chong and a little more kind of high end, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely mainstream, but it's some places have found it's not worth the hassle.
They say that a significant part of the market is still underground. The majority, the biggest part of it is underground. Entrepreneurs are unhappy because, you know, they think, A, it should have never been illegal in the first place, but because it's still on that Schedule 1, it's very difficult for them to, you know, it's very difficult to bank. You know, I know that these retail places and dispensaries here found ways around it. Well, you put a ATM in the lobby, first of all, and they have other methods, and you can use a debit card, but it's like a cash transaction, and blah, blah, blah. But when they bank their money, when they take their profits, where they have to have a secure, you know, FDIC.
Got to have companies that do that. That's a new sprouting up thing, is that companies that are, they're not banks. They're just holding cells for it.
Man. There's a gap between what's legal and what's enforced. And, it's, you know, in New York City, stores just pop up because it's recreational. Very few of them have the correct license. They shut them down, then they just open them back up again. No one's going to jail, right? But it just, I don't think there's people upset with the smell, you know, DeSantis doesn't want it recreational here because Florida will smell like marijuana all the time and no one will come here anymore.
Sorry, Ron, it already does.
What do you mean?
You can't go anywhere now without it.
I got a big whiff this morning on my way. Like I can still see it in the air coming out of a window.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. All right. But psychedelics are even making headway. They're further beyond in their journey, but they're, you know, I don't see the problem with it. It's lost the where people look down on like pothead, you know.
It's gone out of the hippie culture. It's gone into you know, when you have your gram enjoying edibles because it helps her knees. It's lost. It's you know, counterculture that it used to be.
Would more people, do you think, be all right with it if you couldn't smoke it, you could only eat it, and you could only smoke it in your house, and if you wanted to take an edible or whatever, you can do that whenever you want, but you can't smoke it in public.
No, I think it would almost be the same. I still think there's too many people that have that stigma of it being, you know, they grew up where, you know, the officer gonna, the old Johnny Law catches you with a couple grams in your center console or joint.
You're going to prison,
yeah,
buddy.
He's gonna drag you out of your car.
Heather?
Hello.
You can write to Heather at heatherhasanswers@gmail.com with your questions.
All right. Dear Heather and Easy, there's an asterisk. It says, I didn't include Shannon because it seems more like a dark history or helmet issue, but he is welcome to chime in.
Oh, no. I don't want to get in the way. I'll just sit right here in my mood.
I have a shameful fetish turn on, and my friends say I need to seek help. So let me start by saying this. No, it's not anything to do with age play, zoophilia, or CNC, which I had to Urban Dictionary. Do I need to tell y'all what that is or no?
Say the first. What is a CNC?
CNC is consensual non-consent.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
Consensual non-consent. What does that mean?
So, rape.
Oh, okay. You pretend like you don't want it, but
everything's negotiated beforehand. But then verbal consent is no longer taken into account by either party once it starts. Okay, so back to the story. I still think it's pretty shameful and gross. Recently, I've discovered that I have a turn on for murder, gutting, and cannibalism. Let me clarify that I would never in my life act on these thoughts, as they are purely for sexual gratification. And when I think of these scenarios, these acts...
You know, I'm quite happy you left me out of this, because you sound like a freak.
When I think of these scenarios, these acts are committed towards myself. I'm also not attracted towards serial killers or murderers themselves. I actually feel repulsed, but I can't help but feel fascination with the morbid and dead. My friends say it's not normal and were extremely freaked out. I have also never had an interest for these types of things. I've always wanted to pursue a career in forensics, and I listen to the occasional true crime podcast, but never anything too worrying, and my mental health could not... handle it, I guess, if there was, like, real murder involved. Okay. I have no clue what to do, and I feel deeply ashamed.
You should feel ashamed, you weirdo.
I truly don't know where else to ask. Obviously, I had to come to you.
Let me ask this. So he gets sexual gratification from watching, I guess, you know, scenes or thinking of snuff films, whatever, where people get are gutted, where they're murdered and cut open?
Okay, first one, he or she?
I don't know. The name is Kelly. Okay. I mean, that could be he or she.
Well, because I have just seen this fetish, and I don't remember the name of it, but it is largely a female fetish.
Really?
It's a form of sadism. Where it's an ultimate kind of submission type of thing, like being a full on sub, the fact that you were willing to give up your life for the other person.
So wait, they're the one that's dying.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and these fantasies, that's what I think of these scenarios, and these acts are committed towards myself.
Oh boy. I'm trying to find the name of it. Being gutted. You had to be gutted. And I guess it got you while you're still alive, right?
I guess so. I've never heard of this.
anyone who sexually fantasizes about yourself being killed. It's called gynophagia.
So you're gynophagia, normal,
a paraphilia characterized by sexual pleasure derived from the fantasy of oneself being killed and maybe, and I guess one of these says, and eaten.
Yeah, what was the...
Wait a second. If it's a female, you're not... I apologize for saying that you're stone cold freak.
Because it's okay if it's a female?
Yes. Why? And also, I thought about killing... I thought it was about watching someone else dying.
No,
and being
it's themselves
gutted.
Being...
Oh, that's not that freaky. But, yeah, it's a little... Maybe you ought to
you know, get a, if you have someone to talk to. And why the hell? She said her friends don't like it. Why are you sharing this with your friends?
Maybe looking for somebody else who does like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're likely to not be in your circle. It's more than likely a support group for this type of people.
Yeah, as always, we try to say that we are not licensed therapists in any way. And you may want to consider speaking to one for your own personal mental health.
I'm surprised they didn't know the name of it.
But it is, I've seen it before.
But if it's just a fetish, is there anything wrong with it?
No. Just don't tell people about it. Yeah, I mean, how do you visualize that? I mean, how do you...
I mean, is there somebody that role plays with them?
Oh, with a fake knife? I'm gutting you right now.
I'm sure there is something for that if there people are into it.
Wow, Kelly.
There's
that's
a lot of freaks and fetishes out there.
Let your freak flag fly.
Okay.
Woo!
If you enjoy it, as long as it's not harming anybody else.
Yeah, right. This is a harmless fetish. It's not even it's self.
It's in those same ones of the women that read the vampire novels, and they get aroused by the thought of a vampire biting them and draining their blood. There is groups that are
at
like that as
you don't want to cut a leg off or any of that weirdness. So Kelly, you go, girl.
Or boy.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on.
You got another one?
I do. All right. This one just says, in the work I do, which is coaching, umpiring, and the admin work of a sport, we usually need a few different sports kits for the different tours and events. We recently got 2-piece sport kit consisting of a top and a skort. So these are clothing. We originally had problems with the skorts because we received the wrong quantity of different size skorts. The order was sent back, and I received a medium-sized skort yesterday. I'm relatively short. I'm about 5'1".
She thinks she's writing a customer service.
Possibly. Okay. Hold on. It gets better. And I weigh about 130. Since high school, I developed thick thighs due to sports and due to genetics. A lot of the weight I've picked up has gone to my rear. I'm still able to fit normal-sized jeans and small tops. I still play the sport every week, and I'm conscious of what I eat. This morning, I told my manager that the skort is too small, and her joking response was, well, I don't have another one for you, so you're going to have to lose some weight in front of other staff.
Mm.
I started tearing up by the comments.
Yeah, that's not...
Because being okay with my body and how it's differently proportioned to others is something I've had to work on for years. Someone told my manager that what she said made me upset. As I was walking to the bathroom to get a tissue, she was following behind me, trying to stop me so she could apologize. I told her that I need some space and I didn't want to talk about it right at that second. However, she followed me into the bathroom and cornered me while trying to apologize multiple times.
Yeah, because she'll get her ass fired once the word gets to, you know, human resources.
I am able to appreciate that she probably spoke before she thought. I know I'm not innocent in saying things without thinking about them. My question is, do I take this further? Am I justified in feeling angry and hurt by her comment, even though it was a joke, or do I need to toughen up and deal with it? Missy in Atlanta.
I think I know Missy. Or she's a listener of ours in Atlanta.
Maybe.
Yeah. And she works in a sport... in the like a for a league
like
or something
REI
like that
or something, you know.
Oh.
So I don't know. Oh,
so it's
got a league, maybe.
Oh yeah, and that's the skort is part of the uniform, right?
It sounds like it. Yeah.
Well, there's got to be some type of HR. You know what I mean? Within this, every organization has to have one if you're you know earning a paycheck there. And I would.
But I mean, the manager was super apologetic.
But tell that manager to go order Missy a large, like wiki right now. I want to see it on my desk by the end of the day, or I'll tell you I'm walking down to HR and tell them everyone how you called me fat in front of everyone in the whole place and humiliated me. It really is humiliating. Yeah. It's really stupid. And by the way, it sounds like thick thighs and a big old butt. I mean, that's like that manager probably jealous, but she can't fill out one of these squirts.
Probably I can relate.
Huh?
I can relate. Yeah.
Oh, damn. I mean, I would use it as leverage over your manager for sure.
Yeah, it does sound like the manager wasn't intentional in saying it wasn't supposed to be mean in the way they said it. It wasn't like, yeah, you know, if your ass wasn't so fat, you'd be able to fit in that type of thing.
Well, okay, think about this.
But they did mess up.
Yeah, this could be if she chose to pursue it,
And I don't know that she's a litigious type, but you, here you are. You've been called fat by your immediate superior, and you've been told that they will not provide you a uniform that fits you. I mean, that sounds like, you know, call fat at work, call my firm.
I'm guessing they're probably going to order her another skirt, but I mean, it was all a joke and it was bad taste. And
yeah, you can't
say we've all worked with people like that. And you don't just like every time somebody hurts your feelings, run off.
We all have worked for people like that. I have. I'm sure EZ has, but they've always been within the confines of a radio show, a radio station, where, you know, that's kind of expected. I mean, or in this industry, even. I mean, boss man, EVP here will call Bubba Fat Man to his face. Hey, Fat Man, what's going on?
But, I mean,
I lost a lot of weight.
The world of litigation, you have to be careful what you tell people. And if you looked her in the face and said she's too fat to wear her uniform, she better lose some weight. That's a dangerous step.
I'd love to go back to the good old days.
Maybe this... maybe not worth losing their job. Maybe this is a one-time thing. And they did seem apologetic about it. Now, if there's a history of this one boss always talking about how fat people are, how ugly they are, then yeah, you bring that out and get that person out of there. But you got to kind of case by case, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
I think sometimes places are too quick.
I mean, yeah, if she likes working there, yeah, you don't want to mess that up. I'd milk it at least from her manager, you know.
So should she talk to her manager or just hold it over her head? Like, what? I'm not sure what the steps are.
She got witnesses to it.
You talk to the person above that manager.
Yeah.
And just voice your feelings. And she could say that, you know, I wasn't happy with this. I don't think they should lose their job. I just want this to be documented.
That's a good idea. Put this in her permanent file, or his permanent file. Was it a woman or a man?
Don't know.
Well, if it was a man,
yeah, it's more. That's cha-ching. Double.
You know what? Wait. It did say, didn't it? Her.
Her. Okay.
Her joking response.
Well, let's not gender her. We don't. him, it, or whatever.
So the manager was a female.
I'm wondering if it is the Missy that will. We used to talk to in Atlanta. Anyway, that's my advice. Milk it, hold it over her head, and get it in her permanent file. But don't get her fired.
All right.
All right, Heather.
If anybody wants us to pick apart your life, tell us where you're going wrong or what you're doing right, you can email me at heatherhasanswers@gmail.com.
heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. You know, stuff like, you can give us what would you do in this situation type of thing, you know.
Absolutely.
Tell us about your screwy sexual perversions.
I liked about the first half of that one that just sounded like she was trying to yell at customer service for some shipping company or I received a size 16. I would like.
Well, you always ask for.
For the catalog.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
What are we doing? Oh, when we return, we'll get to remarks. Also, a Democratic congresswoman, it's pertinent that she's black, suggests that maybe as a way to, as a form of reparations, like black people would be exempt from paying any taxes. I wonder if that means just income or like you get a break at the grocery store.
Yeah, do you, is there a button on there? okay, and your total was 167, and with your no black tax on there, we'll
with
take that
the
off.
Melatonin bonus. Yeah. We'll do that next. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Man Radio.
Flip this switch. And it made that noise, and it scared the daylights out of me. I am told this is a garbage disposal. I've never seen a garbage disposal. I never had one in any place I've ever lived. It is terrifying. I don't know what to use it for or what its purpose is. Like food scraps? Like, is this environmentally sound? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Jasmine Crockett, a Democratic representative from Texas, said that she heard recently a celebrity, although she couldn't remember which one, propose making black people tax exempt. And I thought, I don't know that that's necessarily a bad idea. She said one of the things they propose is black folk not have to pay taxes for a certain amount of time because that puts money back in your pocket. But at the same time, it may not be as objectionable to some people as actually giving out dollars. What she's saying is that if white people hear of checks rolling your way, they're going to get mad. But if they just, you know, you just don't have to pay tax, they don't ever see your paycheck. Right?
More that she just outed a bunch of people basically saying that a bunch of poor black people don't pay taxes anyway, so why should they have to even worry about
well,
it?
Well, you know, people that live below the poverty line or in that area, they don't pay taxes.
Well, then, okay, then how is that a reparation in any way? The only thing maybe, that benefits maybe, is the rich black people.
Or the people that have jobs, that have an income. Yeah. She said, so many black folk, not only do you owe for the labor that was stolen and killed and all the other things, but the fact is we end up being so far behind. Really? If you do the no tax thing for people that are already, say, struggling and not paying taxes in the first place, they may want those checks like they get from COVID. That's quality representation.
No, that's Jasmine Crockett. She's a special one. She's the one that's been in all those impeachment hearings, the oversight hearings.
Oh, yeah. Hating on Trump.
And the person she was talking about is Terrence Howard, who owes, I believe, like $550,000 worth of back taxes that he doesn't believe he has to pay.
Right, he doesn't. He really doesn't. He's also wrapped up in a lawsuit against the his management and maybe the production crew, because that whatever the studio is, because he claims he was not paid as much as his white counterparts were on set, and he thinks they owe him about $120 million.
Yeah. This is the same guy that got removed from the Marvel movies. Because he thought he should be paid the same amount as Robert Downey Jr. back in there.
Oh, as the lead character?
Yeah, he was in the very first Iron Man movie, and then they replaced him with Don Cheadle, which was better in the
role. Yeah, I agree. I like Don Cheadle better in that role. Crockett recently cruised through a primary. Her Dallas district secured 91.5% of the vote. She never going away.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be the next Maxine Waters.
Yeah, she definitely is. She is the next Maxine or
Sheila
Jackson Lee, who, by the way, said she misspoke about the she got it mixed up. Yeah, the sun is the gases and, you know, so.
Except she also said that they could manage the gases on the moon. That's why they could land people there. So did she mean that they could manage the gases on the sun and land people there?
Well, it's impossible. It's almost impossible to get close to the sun. You don't want to get too close.
But also, does that mean she mixed up the sun and the moon like she thinks the moon's almost impossible to get to because of how hot it is?
No. She knows the moon is round and it comes out at night. Remember, if you've never seen a full moon, what it is completely round. So that's like elementary school with Sheila Jackson Lee.
Now, a full moon is a circle.
So is the sun. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. There's somebody out there, advocacy groups that want, they want the, Lunchables. You know, the Lunchables, they want them to, they should not be allowed on the public school lunch menu. They apparently have some concerning chemicals in them.
Yeah, because they're deli meat. That's it.
They say it's got a lot, the sodium counts is simply too high.
Yeah, all lunch meat has super high sodium counts.
Right.
I don't know, at this point, what do they want these kids to eat during lunch?
I don't know. Well, they say they want to, they're being served to kids in cafeterias across the country, and I guess they're young kids, right? I mean,
that's who normally eats Lunchable is
I would eat one every once in a while. When I in Atlanta, they had a little
or had a little, our own little convenience store in the middle of the floor that we were on. You used to go pick stuff out of there and just rub your card, you know, and pay for it. And I would often grab one and snack on it. Maybe have it for lunch. They want to remove from the national school program and ensure that kids in schools have healthier options. I don't know. Well, do parents have a problem with their kids buying eating Lunchables? Because they seem to be quite popular.
No, they give it to them. I mean, there's a lot of parents that give it to them.
Can a kid bring a Lunchable to work in his bag, or is that now against the law?
I'm sure they'll find a way to stop it. It's again, the kids are eating a lunch. They're kids. As long as it's not a handful of M&Ms and some pudding is all they're eating.
Right.
They're going to burn through all that stuff anyway.
No kidding.
They're kids. I don't see this whole world where we think, the kids' lunch for the elementary school kids should be some quinoa with right. a side of broccoli and some tomatoes.
Don't your kids like asparagus? What's the problem?
Yeah, and then watch all those kids dump that and throw it away because they're not going to eat it.
Today we're having whitefish.
Poached.
come on. Let's, you know, remember the pictures of the lunches that were coming out of cafeterias when Obama was president, when Michelle Obama did something to the lunch program?
Yeah, and they found out that most of the lunch programs were spending on a waste because the kids were just throwing it away.
Right. And a lot of those kids, they had to bring a lunch in addition to that lunch because that lunch was insufficient.
Yeah. Again,
well, I could play after school sports and stuff, and you've given them a veggie supreme.
There's nothing wrong with giving that kid some lunch meat or a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and some milk and even chocolate milk.
Yeah.
Do all those things, because if you would actually have the kids do PE or recess where they can go out there and run some of that stuff off instead of sitting in front of a computer all day long.
It's called Lunchables. It's for lunch. I guarantee you, if you had, would you rather them bring a spam sandwich to
that's probably pretty much about the same when you're talking about what I'm saying.
What about, I guarantee you could get off the shelf, like hanging in the little plastic bag, lunch meat, you know, that's, you know, God knows, it's just low. It's probably got the same content.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They are now part of the National School Lunch Program. Maybe they can get whoever owns it, Nabisco or whatever, to Kraft Heinz. Maybe you're going to call John Kerry and tell him you want to cut down the sodium in the Lunchables.
Yeah, and then they'll go from being affordable to being like $7.25, $8 a Lunchable because you've got white meat chicken in there.
Yeah. Let's get some remarks, shall we? From the Florida Man radio app, powered by Morris Family Farms and Organic Meats. Archived podcast galore, commercial-free, available there. You can listen to this feed, or you can listen to the Fort Walton Beach feed, the Emerald Coast feed. You'll find a little microphone button at the bottom. Hit that maybe at 30 seconds.
I would have bet real money that Buttigieg's dog would have been like a Pomeranian or something.
I would, too.
Star Trek guy here. My thoughts on those fast food workers getting more money. No, I'm just joking. We all know, at least I know, you guys hate my opinion. So, my next thought is, how do you fight inflation? Silver, gold, no matter what they do, the more inflation there is, the higher that goes. And silver's been going up at least a quarter a day the last few weeks. It's been nice. Be-do-be-do.
Is Star Trek guy investing in precious metals? Is that what I'm getting?
I mean, you should.
Oh, yeah. Well, gold is...
You see Costco's doing gold bars again, and they keep selling them. Like, the moment they get a shipment in there, they sell them out immediately.
Wow. Well,
Star Trek guy here.
Sorry about that.
All that Chicken McNugget talk, and all I could think of was that classic from Radio I.O., Rick J. versus Colin. These McNuggets are delicious.
I let Colin get into a rip-roaring fight with Rick J, my other producer, and it was uncensored, you know, on Radio Isle, and they ripped at it for a good 10 minutes, and Colin had brought in some McDonald's, and I just helped myself and ate the McNuggets and just commented how delicious they were and let him hassle it up.
I was just listening to your
radio show, and there's a tornado warning. You guys need to be safe out there.
Where is that? Up in the panel?
That's in the panel. We'll get that tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
It's already happened. Tens of millions of votes aren't counted. California and many other states say that as the popular vote goes, so do the electoral votes. Thus squashing the votes of the majority of the people living in rural areas.
That's exactly what they, that's exactly what liberals want to do, is squash the vote of people living in rural America with normal, you know, lives. Because they're just dumb rubes anyway, and they know what's hip and cool and, you know.
Yeah, those are right. Just the backwoods, racist Christian people anyway.
Gun-toting Bible keepers.
Hey, Shannon and friends, ubiquitous Oops. Southern accent guy here. I may not know much in this world, but I do know a thing or two about Spam. Let me tell you how we eat them up in the holler. Slice it into small squares, fry it in a skillet with your favorite barbecue sauce, then put it on butter-toasted King's Hawaiian rolls with dill pickles and coleslaw. Mmm, son. Well, now I'm going to have to swing by the Piggly Wiggly on the way home. Y'all be good. Be-doo, be-doo.
I mean, it does sound good.
It does. I wouldn't do cubes. I just slice it, you know, so you don't have stuff falling out of it. You know.
I've always done cubes, but it's usually putting in like a rice with some pineapple and stuff like
that.
I
take that blob out, get it out of the can, and I'll go turn it and just hit it, you know, from the top to the bottom, the big squares.
Go for the big thin slices. Yeah,
and then you put those babies in the skillet.
Hi, man. It's Clovis, man. Heads up, man. Yonder come a turd floater. This storm's fixing to hit really bad right here in Okaloosie. And it's going to be coming your way, too. So get ready, baby. I'm batting down the hatches. Bring in the dogs and tie down the trash can. Beedoo, beedoo.
My sister in Austin sent me a video of at least golf ball-sized hail coming down in her house, pounding her car. And then my little brother Sean in New Orleans got it, I guess, late last night and sent pictures of his yard just being blown, you know, and I guess it's headed our way. Hopefully it won't hit here as long.
Nope, 36 tomorrow.
Perfect.
Hey, Nancy guy here. Yeah, I used to be chiseled too because I worked my effing butt off every day. Now I scrub my teeth in the morning and then watch my like B-cup boobs hit my underswinging triceps in the morning, and yeah. Well, hope somebody does something better than I did. Beedoo, beedoo.
Lenny Kravitz is like he's 59 years old, wearing leather pants to the gym. You think he goes out there and hits the showers? And then pulls a fresh pair of leather pants out of his bag.
Oh, yeah.
And puts those on.
He's got a leather pants distributor. Like a guy comes by, and, Mr. Kravitz, your pants.
Hey, there's the guy again. Yeah. If you are heading into Crestview, just wait. Because everybody let out early. There's people being dickheads. And yeah.
Okay. We don't need a local weather report. We're gonna forget it.
Every Shanning, I was listening to the replay of yesterday's show. In what kind of cold, heartless bastard cuts off the elephant man when he's leaving his first remark? Easy, I'd take two steps back away from that guy over there. That's some bad karma in the bank. I've always had a soft spot for the elephant man. Yeah, maybe because his head and my head were roughly the same size. God bless.
I think it's because the slurping noises were just grossing me out.
I don't think anybody's pissed at the price of a stamp at what it is because it's hurting our wallets. I think it's ridiculous that it should be that expensive because of the amount of money we already give the government and where the money goes. If it went to, you know, better the postal service and provide a better service, they could do it for a heck of a lot cheaper and better service, but we don't. There's so much of our tax money already that's wasted on crap. It's the whole expenditure.
Well, look, from 68 to 73 cents, I get it. Nobody seems to be worried about the $34 trillion in debt and the $2 trillion in deficit spending. It's the stamp that you're really ticked about. Or is the stamp an example? But just remind you.
I think it's more that. I think it's just kind of a every increase that the government does, you're just like, okay, we get it, guys. You're taking our money. We don't get any more of it.
What's up, guys? Ray here. About the fat chick with the big butt. She obviously has a problem with her weight. I don't think that girl, her boss, said anything really harmful. She was just being honest. She really needs to stay off the 40-piece McNuggets, maybe just get a burger or something. Maybe get some, maybe lose some weight.
All right.
That'll be a good start. Beetle, beetle.
Some employers have a zero tolerance policy, so maybe trying to get it documented will also get the person fired. That's all I have to say about that. So if you don't want them fired, maybe not do that or look at your policy.
Also, didn't Heather say she was 130 pounds?
Yeah.
Like,
did she say her weight?
Yes. Yes. She's 130. She's not fat.
Yeah, she's
a spinner with a big butt.
Yeah, she's got thick thighs.
Lord.
Yo, fellas, man, it was one comment, one joke. It's not a pattern of behavior. The girl got her feelings hurt. Don't. I agree with the leverage conversation, but if she goes over her head, some of these companies have like must report requirements and all this crap. I send an email to the manager talking about how it hurt your feelings, blah, blah. That way it's documented, but it's between you and her. Yeah, let her know, hey, look, I've got this over you. Don't mess with me again.
Are you saying in the next one here, Heather, that word is in the...
After 24 seconds. I think it sounded like it to me, but you should be able to get through the whole message and cut it off.
All right.
I saw a documentary one time with I think it was true, where a dude was advertising to be a chef where he would eat your body. Like, and it was like this fetish thing with like dudes are writing in and I give my body to you and I want you.
I got it. I stopped it.
Yes, that was the whole thing. The guy actually served himself. He wanted to have people
eat him.
No, well, yeah, there was a whole group online where they wanted him to come. He was offering to cook other people and eat them, and they could eat him, and yeah, it's a creepy thing that was going on.
That's a fetish.
Star Trek guy here. To the person with the kink, I mean, as long as both parties are willing, I say do whatever you want. And if you're trying to find a partner, I would start on Reddit. They have a forum for everything. Be-do-be-do.
Yeah, I was hoping that Heather could just read the beginning of that thick-thighed story one more time, real slow, please.
You know that girl that wants to be gutted has a dildo with a knife handle. She's going to be going to town on Dark History Day.
I take that back. Could Kate read it, please?
Star Trek guy. I hate when this happens. I want to add on to my last comment, but there's no way to add on. But back to the kink person. I see two options. You can either accept who you are and go find a partner, or B, you can feel bad about it, deny it, and then you got to find a therapist. Either way, you're going to be spending money. Be-do-be-do.
I love how they bring up this reparation stuff and being tax exempt in April. Yes, as I scratch a check that you could buy a new car for to give to the federal government. You know who doesn't pay any taxes? The poor. You know who gets all the social services? The poor. God bless. It's very ironic that this all started with Michelle Obama about the lunch meat and all that stuff. Who'd think she was opposed to a large hunk of meat?
Hey, man, I used to have a bitchin' little Pomeranian. She was black, jet black, and so much fun to play with because she was tough and she liked to fight. And she was a great little dog.
Okay.
Now, in general, I like bigger dogs, but...
Okay.
Ah, Shannon sent another guy at a one hung low. I think about being school lunch will cook. No more Lunchables. We have a seaweed pizza with cauliflower crust. We have a delicious kitty cat and squirrel kebabs, gator nuggets. And also, we have maybe salmon egg pudding. Oh, all sounds so good, and the nutritional value is great. Okay, got to cook.
Can somebody tell Clovis there's really no need for him to identify himself? We got it. Sparky, you too. Just talk like we know who it is. Okay, that's all. This is JB from the Panhandle. Since we're going to have code names. So, JB, Panhandle.
He ain't the elephant man has ever looked in the mirror and said, my God, I look like crap today.
Can we have time for one more? Yeah. Nah, we got one more. Nah, we'll see. We're getting dark?
Yes, it's Tuesday. No, it's Wednesday. I don't remember what day of the week it is. But weirdly, we've been talking about mental institutions a lot lately.
Yeah.
And
where are they?
Well, I'm going to tell you exactly where they went, because they, when they should have been really helping people, they were kind of torturing them. And we're going to talk about the things that they did to poor
people.
Maybe
that's why they shut some of them down.
Yeah. As good as they could have been, but yeah, they made a little mistakes here and there.
All right, we'll do it next. Hang on. It's the Shannon Briggs Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Has a homeless problem, homelessness problem, and so, you know, like all good liberals do, they got a problem, let's hurl buckets of cash at the problem. And a new report from California State Auditor's Office found that a state council created to oversee the implementation of the homelessness programs hasn't really consistently tracked the spending nor the outcomes of the programs. The state lacks pertinent data, and the policy makers are likely to struggle to understand the homelessness program's ongoing costs and achieved outcomes. California has spent, this article says $20 billion in the past 5 years. I saw $24 or $27 billion on TV earlier. In the past 5 years, dedicated to the state's homelessness crisis, funneling money towards supporting shelters, subsidizing rent, and still... In those 5 years, homelessness grew by 6%. According to the federal point-in-time data, since 2013, the homelessness in California has grown by 53%. Maybe stop spending any money on it.
Or actually have some sort of regulations on it. Figure out where the money's actually going before you just dump a buttload of it into it. Because that's where our biggest issues a lot of times are, is they go, okay, homelessness, well, how can we fix homelessness? Money! And they just throw it at it.
Right.
And, of course, it becomes dark money.
And they may find out, if they did a little audit, that maybe the rent assistance program is not really good. We're giving money to people that don't, necessarily need it anymore.
Yeah, and then also the guy that happens to be running that division, his salary is now $500,000, and nobody can figure out why.
He's got a new Acura. It's really nice. They recommend that the legislature require that the council... See, why is there any laws surrounding that, I'm not big on new laws, but if we're talking about controlling where $27 billion went... And why we spent that much and the problem only got worse, you may want to track it. The governor's office referred questions about the audit to the California Business Consumer Services Housing Agency. Yeah, that's who you want to talk to. Nice. They only found that two were likely cost effective. Out of all the state, five or so state programs, Project Home Key, the COVID-driven project to convert hotels into housing, and CalWORKS, housing support program that offers financial assistance and other service to low-income residents. That's about all they know.
Yeah, they just need to actually... there needs to be some thought process behind it instead of just throwing money at things. That's how, that's the government process we have going on currently, why we're in the issues we are. That's why that we had that Inflation Reduction Act, $3 trillion, where they're just like, okay, throw money at it. Nobody went, okay.
And inflation just went up.
Is anybody actually fixing anything?
How could inflation go up if we sign a $3 trillion Inflation Reduction Act?
Yeah. We try to reduce it. We use money to reduce the money we didn't have.
quite a paradox there, but the biggest conclusion is this: just inadequate transparency and data. Yeah, no surprises. Shall we get dark?
Yeah, let's...
let's get dark.
Get darker than just spending money on homelessness and not doing anything about it.
It's disturbing history with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
Ah, the mental institution. A place where a lot of people should be.
Yeah.
A lot of people... were mistakenly put in there, like that poor hot dog dude.
That poor guy. He's going to get paid.
But I think it's something that people will call cruel and inhumane, but we're seriously lacking right now. There are people that should be, that are currently homeless, and we always talk about, the mental health crisis. We've got a mental health crisis. That's why kids are shooting up schools, and you got homeless guys on the street yelling and screaming and thinking, okay, well, you know how you fix a mental health crisis is to give them someplace to go. You put them into an institution.
Right. And keep them there.
And keep them there. The problem is they have to be properly funded and they have to be government regulated so they actually don't just torture people like they kind of used to. Because for the longest time, from about the 1800s to the early 1900s, you could be crazy. You also could be, if your husband wanted to divorce you, he could just say, my wife has hysteria, put her away. And they could just shove you into a mental institution. You never get out.
Straitjackets, the whole bit, right? In the old days.
Well, worse than that. The straitjackets are kind of the tip of the iceberg on backseat. Those probably were handy to keep people from hurting themselves or hurting other people. Really... the patients were often kept the most horrendous conditions, and in some cases were treated far worse than pretty much anything you could possibly believe. I mean, you've seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest all those. Also, the asylums, they fought back against those charges, mainly because they didn't want to get shut down, they didn't want to get arrested, and they wanted to keep getting that sweet federal funding to keep their place open.
And if you were the dude or the dudes or the people in charge of them, they were good paying gigs.
Also, if you were sadistic, those were the careers to get into. If you like torturing people, yeah, kind of like, hey, this is a sweet gig. They pay me. And also, it was kind of hard to go against these places because of the fact the people that were complaining that they were being tortured were the ones that people were saying were insane. So all you would do is just like, of course, we're not torturing this person. This man
They're
is mentally
crazy.
Ill.
That's why they say that, yeah.
Well, if you were poor and labeled insane in about the 1800s, there was really no chance of you being treated with much dignity. In 1874, the Carbon Advocate, a newspaper published in Pennsylvania.
The Carbon Advocate?
Yeah, it's a great name for a newspaper.
Sure is.
I don't know if the Carbon Advocate's still around, but that's awesome.
Probably not.
I reported that the insane were poor. Insane poor were severely mistreated in certain county almshouses.
Were they nice, like the an insane asylum for people that came from wealthy families where they got treated better?
Wasn't one of the Kennedys in there?
Yes.
I thought that one of the Kennedys ended up in a special treatment. I think she, if I remember correctly, got lobotomized, so she really needed the special treatment. Of course, there were no sanitary measures, and people were deemed insane, were kept in wooden cages.
In what? Wooden cages?
Yep. In one case, there was a person as a, quote, agricultural laborer clad in rags. He was described as a quiet man who did not have violent outbursts, yet he was locked up in a wooden cage for about 18 months on a straw-strewn floor, which was pretty much his bedding.
A straw floor?
Yep.
That's the case he had to go to the bathroom, right? Because they didn't. I doubt he had a bathroom.
No,
a
no bathroom. Yeah, he was in. He didn't leave the cage. 18 months in the cage. That was it.
Good Lord.
Some of the other inmates had little to no clothing, and many were too weak to move, having been crouched inside a cage for a long time. The reporter also told of a 20-year-old woman who had been kept in a little cage for 6 years. He described her as wearing only a piece of bed ticking and said that she was so weak from lying that she could neither move her limbs, rise, nor walk.
Wow.
1903. The Omaha Daily Bee.
The papers had great names back then.
It had a story that was, you know, pretty common for this time period, where the patients of the Lakeland Insane Asylum in Kentucky were being tortured by the attendants. An investigation was underway, and patients were testifying about the abuse. Many of the patients claimed that they were too scared to reveal everything that was going on inside the asylum, fearing that the attendants would hurt them after their testimony. Others revealed that they were strangled, beaten with socks filled with potatoes.
They only were bruised at that point.
Yeah. They were also forced to take cold showers as a punishment.
Hmm.
One article stated the patients were being held while cold water was allowed to drip on them. This was called hydrotherapy. So it did actually have a medical name to it.
A Chinese water torture.
Basically. Both hot and cold water was used to change patients' behavioral patterns. It was very popular in the early 20th century. Spray showers of cold water, ranging in temperatures from 9 degrees Celsius, about 48 degrees Fahrenheit, to 21 degrees Celsius, about 70 degrees Fahrenheit. And they were meant for manic depressive psychosis. The cold temperature would decrease the patient's mental and physical activities. It was never meant to be used as a form of punishment. It was a treatment.
They didn't realize it was driving people mad?
No, they were already mad.
Well, they drive it right on your forehead, right?
This type of hydrotherapy, they would just hold you into it, and then they would increase or decrease depending on, you know, if you were manic or you were depressed, they would, you know, whatever type of water they needed to get you in there.
We get some manic depressive temperature?
Mm-hmm. Of course, you've seen anybody that's a criminal bound to a chair or a hostage or something like that. You see the restraint chairs a lot. Reported in a newspaper article published in 1886, a woman who was suffering from nervous excitement. Not exactly sure.
Nervous excitement?
Yeah, I can't have a lady that's too excited. She was taken to the state asylum for her nervous excitement. While in the asylum's care, she was intentionally tripped and injured her leg.
Oh.
She went to lie on her bed to recover from her injury, not knowing that it was against the asylum rules, and immediately grabbed by the attendants. The report goes on to state she was placed in a chair and bound so tightly she could not move, and the strap that went around her waist was so tight as to stop circulation.
Jesus.
She was left strapped in that torturous position from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m., and when she was unbound, her limb that was injured by falling had swollen to twice its natural size.
Wow.
She also endured gagging and having a large amount of her hair pulled out by an attendant.
Pull the hair out of her head?
Yep, just pull it out.
Yeah, that's straight up torture right there.
Now, this is more your Chinese water torture or waterboarding. Under the direction of the matron head of staff, attendants committed a form of torture called the water cure against the insane women at the Topeka Asylum for the Insane in 1903. One of the attendants explained the water cure as so. When a patient refused to obey the orders by Miss Houston, head of staff, the attendants were ordered to throw a sheet over her head and draw her to the floor. While the attendants held the patient, Miss Houston poured water out of a pan into her face.
That's waterboarding.
Yes. The water was poured fast, and the pouring continued until the patient agreed to obey orders.
Wow.
According to testimony, this was not a one-and-done thing. Simulated drowning had happened often under the matron head of staff, which is why a committee was formed to investigate the claims of torture brought up against Miss Houston.
She went to prison?
Yeah. There are numerous short accounts of starvation in insane asylums in the late 1800s and 1900s. One report at Illinois stated men were tortured to death and beaten unmercifully, in many instances starved to death. In an account that came out of Boston in 1883, a witness testified that women and children were dying of starvation. And another report stated, in one instance, a woman was in a dirty cell in the attic. She was entirely without clothing and almost starved. The assistant said she was violently insane and would tear her clothes off. She had only one meal daily, carried to her by an idiotic girl who had always taken care of her.
An idiotic girl?
Yeah. One of those stupid girls. She washed and found the girl, threw the food away, and came back with an empty plate, telling that the woman had eaten all the food. So the idiotic girl couldn't even give the lady the food.
Idiot.
Idiotic girl. As numerous reports of the asylum abuse came out in the late 1800s, more people felt that it was safe to begin to question what happened to them or their loved ones in the asylums. In 1901, a woman finally came forward about her husband's treatment in the Bellevue Hospital in 1898. She believed that her husband had died due to abuse and treatment at the asylum. In one instance, she says, she saw him in a straitjacket and made to trot up and down a corridor in the Bellevue Insane Pavilion while an attendant flogged him with a long strap tipped with metal.
God.
Her husband was later taken to the Manhattan State Hospital and was treated for several fractured ribs. It would be another 1.5 years of asylum torture before the poor man passed away.
Hmm.
Nothing really just clears the mental illness like flogging a person as their arms are bound. It wasn't just cold baths or waterboarding that also was used against people. Warm temperature water, in fact, scalding temperature also. Warm baths ranging in temperatures from about 92 degrees Fahrenheit to 97 degrees Fahrenheit were given to patients to help them relax.
Wow, it's hot.
But it was relaxing. Hot tub. Okay. A little hot tub time. While most people agree there's nothing as therapeutic as a comfortable soak in the tub, there's some places where it got worse. Some patients were kept in a warm bath for several hours and up to several days.
That's not good.
Pretty sure that's boiling someone alive. Even worse, some patients were placed in water so hot that it caused burns. In 1903, it was reported that an insane asylum in Kansas was being investigated for reported abuses. In one case, a patient who died from scalds received during a bath. The cause of death was entered on the asylum records as he was senile.
Senile?
Yeah, senile. Sometimes you're senile, you burn. For all accounts given, it appears that none of the attendants or employees at the asylums could actually be bothered to do their jobs properly and just dunk this guy into scalding hot water. Now, there were some asylums that did allow kind of work release type of things.
Work release?
Not so much work release, but you could do work at this asylum.
You go...
I'm sure putting together license plates and, and such, like penitentiaries. The only difference was the people at the asylum were placed there for their assumed mental illness and not because of an actual crime. In 1910, a case of abuse was reported in which a car clerk witnessed an attendant beating a patient. According to the car clerk, he said, "I was making my rounds and was standing near a boxcar. Several patients from the asylum were shoveling coal from under the supervision of an attendant. He was a man about 40, I should imagine. One of the patients quit shoveling. The attendant ordered him to continue, but the latter refused. Then the attendant struck him, knocked him down, and kicked him about the body a moment or two until the patient got up and started to work again. The others did not interfere, and I did not think it was my place to do so either."
God. I didn't think it was my place.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Who am I to step in?
He's only kicking him about the body.
Yeah, he was crazy. You could see it. It said it. 1878. Horrific reports of torture at the Columbus, Ohio Insane Asylum hit the newspaper.
Like practically every damn insane asylum has a...
There wasn't a lot of them.
I don't know. There's no good stories about the insane. And do people ever get out?
See, that's the issue is a lot of times...
We've cured him.
We never heard the... person get out to tell their stories about how they were tortured, because a lot of times they ended up in the cemetery behind the insane asylum.
Yeah.
And not because they died of old age or anything else like that. A lot of times you just didn't get there. And again, it was a lot of times it was female hysteria just got a lot of ladies put in there, unfortunately. Yeah. According to one article, the asylum hired a woman named Mrs. Brown to take over one of the wards that housed non-violent, incurable patients.
Non-violent, incurable.
Yeah, so sad people, probably.
Mm.
Since Ms. Brown had previously worked for some hospitals for the insane in Canada, those are some terrifying places.
Where?
The Canadian ones. They've done, like, intense research into the fact that they were super abusive in a lot of those places. I felt that she was a perfect candidate for the position, though. Miss Brown came from a Canadian asylum, so
they know what they're doing up in Canada.
She knows exactly what she's doing.
They know how to hate on people in Canada.
Shortly after being hired, she began a system of torture, though. If a patient became troublesome, here's what she would do. This woman, whose duty it was to nurse and care for the unfortunate persons placed her in her charge, rushed the offending victim to the bathroom, where she was stripped of her clothing and thrown into the water. The unfortunate patient's head was then forced under the water until the poor creature was nearly strangled, when her head would be raised for a moment that she might somewhat recover, when the operation would be repeated until the patient, worn out from exhaustion and almost limp, would be forced to promise to obey at all times.
Jesus.
That's right.
Almost drown them repeatedly till they give in.
Yeah, that technique that you've seen from every mob movie where they take the guy into there and he's dunking his head underwater and the guy's underwater. Until he pulls him up. He's like, are you ready to tell the truth? And then again, yeah. Basically, they were doing that to insane people. Well, people that they said were insane. There should have been more of an outcry against the treatment of people who are made prisoners in insane asylums. Too many attendants, though, looked the other way, or they joined in on the fun of the dunking. In 1889, there was a small piece from the State Chronicle, the North Carolinian newspaper, about the sickening abuse of some patients of a Dr. Grissom.
Dr. Grissom?
Dr. Grissom, yes. Although certain political heads were trying to convince people that the necessary thing to do to make an insane person act rational is to chain him, throw water in his face, or kick and stamp him in the face. Other people were kind of like, "What, dude, you're crazy."
Didn't write this down anywhere, did you?
By 1921, there was a debate among politicians and the doctors for the insane over whether or not they'd be able to put their incurably insane out of their misery. I do miss the title of Doctor for the Insane, though.
Was that a real? Did you go to med school for that?
Or was the title of Doctor for the Insane?
Of Doctor for the Insane. How are you?
Doctor for the Insane, MD. As reported in the Norwich Bulletin, which is from Connecticut, discussion matters was started anew last Saturday by the members of the General Assembly's Committee on Appropriations. The members being divided as to whether or not a law should be passed providing that persons in state institutions found to be hopelessly insane and suffering mental tortures should be mercifully put to death.
Little euthanasia, huh?
Mm-hmm. Fortunately, they did not pass the euthanasia law, but congrats, Canada is well on their way to allowing you to be mentally insane and dead once again.
Oh, yeah, just to be sad and dead. They'll be more than happy to help you with that.
Just have a little limp and you want to be dead there.
We're going to take the guy down right now. The Haiti gang chief, known as Izzo, not to be confused with his rival Barbecue. Izzo runs the 5 Seconds gang. He's taken to TikTok to post about rape and murder and to recruit some new members for his little gang. I did find one of the rap pieces.
Oh, you did find some Izzo originals?
I did.
From the 5 Second gang?
From the 5 Second gang. It's all, you know, in a different language. I don't know what's kind of a banged up French, I guess, or something like that.
It's a Haitian, yeah, it's a...
Here's a little taste. Showing guns, the guy's got guns. He might be saying bad words, I don't know. But...
There's some... Somebody that is fluent in that language just clutched their chest.
Oh, my God. They're calling to report me immediately. He had 227,000 followers on his TikTok before it was banned. Police in the country, the United Nations, and the U.S. government blame him for the ongoing chaos and accused him of rape, murder, and drug running. According to a report by the U.N., his videos have helped lure more members to his gang that work for food, guns, phone, and a little bit of money.
I know, though, that has just ground Heather's gear. So the fact that Izzo got 227,000 TikTok followers.
I tried to recruit some members to his gang. His compound in Port-au-Prince features prominently in the videos as he's seen doing the stuff that you see our rap heroes do, counting out $100 bills and drinking cognac straight from the bottle. Their specialty is recruiting child soldiers. Yeah. This gang had been sanctioned by the U.S. Treasury Department. Huh?
What did we say? Okay, guys. U.S. Treasury Department says you guys are bad.
Yeah, we're not with you at all. They say that his gang had been responsible for 1,035 cases of sexual violence in 2022 alone. That hit tune we just played a little bit. Apparently, in there he sings words like "Gonna whack 'em all, gonna snort cocaine, and kill everyone who hates me." Okay. Gonna whack 'em all, snort cocaine, and kill everyone that hates him.
That's better with a beat behind it.
Man, what a mess. What's the plan down there?
They don't have any right now. They've got a bunch of people not in Haiti that are trying to make up laws and stuff like that that aren't... They're going to have to put troops on the ground at some point.
Oh, definitely.
What troops? I don't know. I don't know who's going to be the force that they're going to send down there.
Then there'll be aid packages, right?
Oh, of course.
Just tons and tons of aid packages.
Oh, Hillary's like, I can give them more aid. You want to remember how we did did last time?
I stand at the ready to help in Haiti once again. When we return, a Harvard professor claims that UFOs could have traveled to Earth via extra dimensions that the CERN particle accelerator are trying to unlock. Harvard professor.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Completely rational thing. We'll do it next. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
And radio.
Shooting in Philadelphia, five individuals in custody, four guns found. Looks like a pretty big deal. There was body cam footage of cops addressing a vehicle. Guy has a gun. There's a traffic stop in Chicago. The cops end up firing around 90 or so times at him. He fired at them first. Can you send me while I'm playing this mom clip? Here's what the shooting sounded like.
Roll the window down. What are you doing?
Roll up.
Roll this one down. Roll that one down too. Hey, don't roll the window up. Roll the window up.
Okay.
Do not roll the window up.
Hey,
unlock the doors
guns
now.
Guns are out now.
Unlock the doors now. Unlock the doors now. Open the door now. Open the door now. Open the door now.
He fires at them.
Officer Corps David, shots fired, shots fired. Hey! Hey! Shots fired. Fernandon Avers, Fernandon Avers, 10-1, 10-1.
That's air going out of one of the tires. This guy won't go down.
Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands.
At some point, they always say, let me see your hands, but, the guy's dead.
Yeah.
He's not showing you his hands. I people are saying that's excessive. And here's his mother.
Car 3 days before that, and he was just riding around in his car. He said, Mom, go for a ride. And they killed him. They killed him.
What's he say in the front?
Just bought his new car.
Oh, just bought his new car. And they killed. Well, he shot at cops.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what people expect. And it really doesn't matter how many times they shoot at you. It doesn't matter. If you're armed with a gun and you've aimed that weapon and fired it toward a cop, there is no limit to how many, as long as you're still a threat,
Oh, he fired 11 times, too. So, yeah. I mean, he got 11 shots off, and that's why they fired as many times as they did.
He kept firing and firing, and they kept firing. I don't think it's overkill. I just, you know, that's what you get. Sorry. Stupid. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes, and that's a stupid game. All right, the CERN Particle Accelerator. It is all to super speed particles in this tube, right, in a circle, and crash. Is it protons?
It's different pieces.
Anyway, it's a hadron collider. They're trying to find the God particle. And they say the Large Hadron Collider could detect a parallel universe. Like another dimension, right? That we've talked about here all the time.
Oh, yeah. These are like opening up to alien worlds.
Right. Now, normally you've got some local yokel on the YouTubes talking about this. You've never heard of him. He's got a bad mustache and a mullet, and you're like, okay, I'm not going to believe you.
It's in a room that's weirdly lighted.
Yeah, and the poster's on the wall.
You're almost, you think he's recording on the first iPhone with a camera on it?
But when a Harvard professor speaks up, I think you have to give it a listen. Harvard professor believes the answer is 300 feet below the surface. Avi Loeb, we've talked about this guy before. This guy's well known for his efforts to prove there are extraterrestrials. And he's claimed that extraterrestrial visitors, or travelers rather, are traveling through hidden dimensions that are created by the researchers at CERN Particle Accelerator. It blasts particles at nearly the speed of light to recreate conditions of the Big Bang, with hopes of uncovering hidden dimensions that will reveal how our universe is formed. He says that alien civilizations may have been developing dimension-hopping technology for billions of years. He made the claims that in this documentary, said that extraterrestrials are using theoretical quantum gravity engineering in order to travel through a curled dimension that humans can only detect in particle accelerators, such as CERN. A curled dimension. What does that mean?
That's a good question. But I like it in our normal human tact, you know, they're talking about the aliens have been doing it for billions of years. And, of course, humans, it sounds like we're trying to smash into it with a hammer.
He says in the new documentary, The Paranormal UFO Connection, that if alien technology is able to reach our doorstep, we would be awestruck because it would represent something that we don't possess. Just like a cave dweller coming to the city of London or somewhere in Europe and seeing all the technological gadgets there, there will be a sense of religious awe and we wouldn't understand it. Especially if we're dealing with the effects of quantum gravity that we have any clue about. He said traveling through extra spatial dimensions would mean the chance of collisions would be much smaller. It has found the God particle, but the Large Hadron Collider could soon detect a parallel universe. Scientists of CERN have attempted to detect 6 extra spatial dimensions. I don't know, what does that mean? Like this world and another dimension?
Just another 5 areas?
The Large Hadron Collider is located at the border of France and Switzerland. The first went live back in 2008. They used it to discover the Higgs boson particle, which was a missing piece in the jigsaw that physicists are trying to understand how the universe works. Quantum mechanics is exactly 100 years old now. The process of learning is incomplete. Several major puzzles. You know, this is the it's difficult for me to understand this science, way over my head. I'll admit, but I get the goal is to unlock the Big Bang, which is a theory, right? And create a similar situation.
We're going to sooner or later mess up badly and suck ourselves all off into a black hole of some sort.
We won't maybe be able to find a way to get into another dimension, into another dimension?
Going to rip in a hole into space-time, and they'll just pull us into it, and we'll all be gone in a blink.
This is the guy that went and looked at the bottom of the sea. Remember that little particles that looked like?
Yeah, he found himself those little ball bearings at the bottom of the ocean.
He thought they were a piece of a spacecraft. It turned out they weren't.
Yeah.
They're like an old fossil from a billion years old. He argues in this new documentary that world governments should divert $2 trillion a year. He claims should be spent on military budgets instead of use it to search for alien life. Paranormal UFO connection. I got to check that out. This guy said, Christopher Lee, a filmmaker, he said, of the film, he said, I have a science degree. I'm pretty rational. I was really taken to see what Avi's take on this would be. He's one of the few serious scientists in the world taking an interest in the subject. Our chat was enlightening, and he does think that advanced civilizations elsewhere in the universe may be able to use other spatial dimensions in order to travel easily through the universe. That's black hole stuff to me, right? That's basically what they're talking about, correct?
Yeah. Just a lot of astrophysics stuff that's above my head.
It really is. You know, bending the time and space like this, you know, and traveling, that makes it, you can travel here to the, that's
way. Well, you got full time.
You got full.
You don't fold.
You got a fold. You have with a crease?
Yeah, with the crease. That's how you get from point A to point B.
I didn't get to this yesterday because it is eclipse related. On a Mexican news station, they're like anyone else, they had a lot of totality there. They're doing a lot of solar eclipse coverage on Monday. And in news anchors for the RCG Media, the Mexico news station, were commenting as the eclipse came into totality. And then they cut to a different angle of a bright light, presumably the sun. And seconds later, a set of testicles dipped into the frame, blocking them. They're clearly, there's no doubt about it. If you saw them, you know they were hairy.
They reach testicular totality?
No, they didn't, because they went to commercial or whatever right away. This is all over X yesterday, but they're blurring out the nards. I mean, come on. The testicles dipped into the frame, blocked the light out a little bit, gave the audience a little up close look at someone's balls. You could see the anchors' shock on their faces. RCG Media is not laughing over the little mess up. As for how the testicles ended up in the broadcast, they reportedly asked viewers to send in personal eclipse footage.
But what they were expecting,
which in hindsight wasn't such a great idea. There's a theory floating around that these balls were attached to Tommy Lee from Motley Crue, because he apparently retweeted it. He did it with his own testicles.
Yeah, Tommy's come out and said those were not his testicles.
Those weren't his. Okay. Yeah. Whew, wow.
It was big breaking news on TMZ last night.
Did they blur it out? I'm sure they blurred. They had to blur it out.
But they were just made like breaking news. These are not Tommy Lee's. So.
Oh, that was the breaking news. What can he prove that they're not his?
Well, I mean. I would take a guess that they've been on enough film and footage of it so somebody can forensically match up. Which I'm glad it didn't go any farther. Could you imagine the court case where they actually had to bring in an expert on it? And he is like, if you can see here by the wrinklage on the left one here, those definitely do not match the woes of Mr. Tommy Lee.
As you can clearly see, Mr. Lee's testicle, well, the left one hangs a bit lower than the right one because of an incident on tour in Tokyo. Couple of railway workers in the Bay Area have been fired. Transit authority people. When it was discovered that two former Caltrain officials built two secret apartments. They converted offices that they weren't being used in two peninsula stations south of San Francisco.
These guys should be getting an award.
I think so, too. They former Caltrain Deputy Director Joseph Navarro and contractor Seth Andrew Warden face felony charges for misusing public funds to build these mini apartments in a historic Burlingame and Millbrae stations. Neither facility is being used by the public. Warden, a guy from Oceanside, was arraigned and released on his OR. Navarro, formerly Bay Area, now of Newton, Pennsylvania, is scheduled to be rearranged in April. They found the Warden's Millbrae apartment in 2020, but they didn't discover Navarro's secret hideaway in the Burlingame station until an anonymous tip in 2022. A lot of people they've received some admiration. Where you can't build a house there for, you know, a builder's cost of nearly $1 million. One guy converted an office and spent $8,000 to an apartment, and the other one spent $42,000. This one guy said, hey, hire that man to build some housing.
Yeah, I mean, a hell of a build out for $8,000.
He put a kitchenette, a shower, plumbing, and security system.
Do you think he had, like, did he have cable run from the train station that he just had it spliced off of there and run to his place? Or
I mean, they've spent $42,000 in there. And these offices weren't being used by the public. Nobody was over there. And, you know, the guy that spent $8,000, I don't know. I also don't know how long they've lived there. They're accused of trying to fly below the radar, making sure none of the invoices exceeded $3,000, which would have triggered a further authorization from Caltrain.
Yeah, I think that's their biggest issue is
they used their money. Yeah,
they used company funds to do these build-outs.
Wow.
But bad on Caltrain that they couldn't figure out that $42,000 or $50,000 total went missing and they had no idea where it went to.
Well, maybe they didn't even know that it was missing at all until they saw these apartments. Oh, wait a second. How'd you pay for this? And then went back and forensically dug up the info.
That's just more on look at California, can't figure out how to do an audit for anything.
I think that's a pretty good idea. Was there a similar story to this where some guys had converted, they were also transit workers, I think. And it was at the subway system in New York, maybe?
Yeah, there's been many of them doing it in the tunnels.
Sounds like a fort, you know, like when you were a kid.
There's some places in this building we probably could get away with doing a build out in an apartment. They'd probably even never know it.
Till he smelled me cooking chorizo in the morning and eggs. Where's that coming from?
Walking out in your boxers on the balcony.
Hey, morning. You get my paper. A modern art gallery in Germany had to fire an employee there. A 51-year-old man. He's a budding artist himself. And before an exhibition began, a new exhibition, he drilled a couple of holes in a wall to mount his own painting. Supervisors at the museum noticed something immediately. They told a German newspaper, Süddeutsche Zeitung, adding that the piece was returned to the artist. The guy was an employee of the technical services team, and had described himself as a freelance artist. His piece was 23 inches by 47 inches, hung in an empty passageway. In addition to his employment being terminated, he's also been banned for life from the gallery.
This guy didn't hurt anybody.
I mean, this is a place that has some of the greatest modern art in all of Europe. Pablo Picasso, they have some Max Ernst in there, some Salvador Dali's, and
this German dude.
And German dude.
Said he didn't hurt it. He didn't destroy anything. He didn't take another piece of art down. It was in a hallway that was just right there on the edge. He drilled a few holes, mounted it on the wall. He didn't hurt anybody.
Something similar happened in a different museum in Bonn, Germany. Staff were packing up an exhibit at the Bundeskanzel Gallery. They noticed an extra painting had been put on display by a member of the public. Their response was, we think it's funny, and we want to get to know that artist and get it. So get in touch with us. There's no trouble. He never got in touch with him to reveal the painting. Oh, he was a lady. Danai Emina said she always wanted to get one of her paintings into an exhibit. I smuggled it in with a giant hoodie over my leggings. It was a female portrait entitled Georgia. It was eventually auctioned by the gallery and the proceeds given to an art charity.
Which means she didn't make any money off it at all.
Right. that's one way to get your art seen, right? You just go in there and hang it up.
Yeah. It doesn't hurt anything. I don't know why the guy's banned from ever going into the art gallery ever again. What, are they afraid he's going to do something else? He's going to try to hang some more
right.
art up? I mean, when you have art that's just a banana taped to a wall, if this guy wants to hang his art, I don't care.
That's a great story. The banana with the duct tape on it?
Yeah, and then the Asian guy ate it.
And then the banana's going to go bad.
That was the whole point of it. It's about the descendant madness of man.
But do you leave the rotten banana peel up there, or do you replace it every day?
I think they're actually replacing it every day, if I remember correctly.
Hmm. Was there body cam footage on this traffic stop in Ocala?
There might have been. I have to see if I can chase it down.
We're on the air up in Ocala. And if Tammy Angel, you're listening, you rock. Off-duty cop spotted a vehicle driving erratically in Ocala on a road. I don't say where. The driver, Tammy Angel, showed signs of impairment. So officers called to the scene, conducted a seated field sobriety exercise. I don't know if you could see it. That means you stay in your car?
Either that or maybe like sitting on the hood.
When Tammy Angel was asked to say the alphabet from A to Z, she said A, B, C. It's been so many years ago. Oh, it was not representative of our listeners in Ocala. Then she tried again. She said A, B, C, E, F, G, H, Y, O, and then mumbled some gibberish. She attempted to formulate sentences, but only manages to string together some incoherent words. When she was told she would be placed under arrest, she attempted to speak, but she was so intoxicated she had to be evaluated at a hospital or a jail.
Tammy.
Come on, Tammy.
I did see some pictures, so there must be some footage out there. I'm just not being able to chase it down, but it was broad daylight.
Really?
Tammy, come on.
That's day drinking.
Yeah.
On a whole new level, Tammy.
Also, everybody that's a good drinker should know how to say the alphabet right. Forwards and backwards. You practice that sucker.
Backwards as well?
Oh, I mean, they're going to ask you. You should at least try.
I think they ask you that because you're likely to say, I can't even do that sober. What did you ask me that for?
Or what do they do there? They'll do now. They'll go, okay, I'd like you to say the alphabet starting from the letter P.
Oh, they start.
They'll pick like a random spot in the middle. They're like, oh, I'd like you to say the alphabet starting from the letter K. A drunk person.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Well, Tammy couldn't get past C, so.
Because it's been so long ago since I had to do this. Dang it. How old is she? Doesn't say. Does it say? Doesn't say. Well.
She was an older one.
Was she an older lady? Probably down at the package store, burning through some Marlboros, having a couple of toddies. That's after a 50-year-old dude took his truck for a spin in New Smyrna, that area of the beach you can drive on, but he decided to drive into the surf.
I'm going to send you the news story. It's going to come in a player, though, so you have to...
On this?
I'm sending you to the link to the news story.
I, B, C, to Twitter?
Yeah.
There we go. Hold on. Come on. Oh, there it is. Oh, Tammy. Oh, boy. Ooh, Tammy. Let me get the audio going here. Where the hell is the audio button? Why can't I hear it?
Probably in that player in the bottom right, you're going to hit the, hit the player, the bottom right's going to have a slider for the volume.
A slider? Oh, there it is.
This is so many years ago.
Oh,
eyes and say your alphabet from A to Z.
Jazzy. ABC. That was so many years ago. ABC. EFG.
Okay. All right, so Miss Tammy, you're going to be placed under arrest for driving under the influence.
You know, it's not... I don't know that. It's like...
I'm afraid, Miss Tammy, you are what we like to call in Ocala, schnockered. Wow. Man. Up in the corner. I'm trying to see if it's got the time up there. You see the time of the day?
18:02, so 6 o'clock.
The sun is
yeah, it's 6 o'clock.
Wow, way to go, Tammy! All right, when we return, our buddy John Jensen will join us. Get a lot of email from the guys up in at the prison about the guy that wants to fight the lion. I'll read those during the break. See if there's
is it more from him or is it from buddies that also know the lion guy?
Is that guy know the lion guy? What? Was those Jason?
Lion guy.
Okay, that's Jason Jennings Melton. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
I'm having to keep my men straight.
All right. Yeah, you're incarcerated men. John Jensen's next. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Catch up with our friend John Jensen. Find him where you get your social media at Fix the Nation. It's a great, great follow. John, how are you? How you been?
Doing very, very well. Yourself?
Not bad at all. Thank you for asking. The Inflation Reduction Act spent how many trillion dollars? You get where I'm going with this.
Yes, it's interesting to spend trillions of dollars to lower what's created by spending a lot of money.
I mean, had we reached maybe what the prediction was, we may have seen the Fed lower interest rates, but we're nowhere near that now. We're going the opposite direction. There are telltale signs everywhere you look. Spam is now one of the hottest selling commodities in all of the United States. The demand is so high. People are stocking up on canned meat. I don't know how they're going to spend this. Any idea?
Well, first off, spam is a really high quality product. I'm sure people are buying it simply because the taste and value that it brings to your life. that being said, I think when you have a deficit spending each year of $2 trillion at the federal government level, when you keep flushing more money into the system to chase a fixed amount of goods, you get higher prices. That's just how inflation works.
Yep.
If you want to end inflation, tell them to balance the budget. Would it be bad for the economy? Yeah, but you'd get back toward what normal is and should be. What we're living on is a $2 trillion a year deficit spending stimulus plan that isn't legislated. It's just lazy governance. And by lazy, I mean cowardice. People in D.C. don't care about us and what it wastes of our money. They care about getting reelected. They care about not spending their political will and capital toward fighting what needs to be fought, but sound bites and being reelected and making their donors more money.
Yes, correct. The establishment TV networks, all the big, have sent a letter together to Biden's administration pressuring him to a television debate with Trump. And in the letter, they claim that their research shows 3 in 4 voters believe that not debating Trump makes Biden look weak. Will he do it?
Will he do it? Oh, I think it's in both their cases benefit to not debate.
Really?
So will he do it? I'm leaning toward no.
Why? Why?
I think they can step and fetch all they want. I think at the end of the day, Biden believes he has what he has, and he'd lose by the compare and contrast of the moment. That's my guess.
Biden loses.
Yes, I think Biden, if Biden were to debate, I think it would hurt him.
Oh, yeah, most
definitely.
I think
Biden's stance is the economy's going, you know, nice job. I've got a lot more legislation passed than Trump ever did. You know, the people believe in what a thing. I'm sane and sensible, you know, as opposed to this, you know, orange-hedged, you know, orange-haired, you know, authoritarian who wants to, you know, right, take over the world. You know, and he's just going to keep spinning that logic. By the way, he's pro-choice.
Right. But do you believe that 4 out of 5 voters believe he will perceive him as weak if he doesn't? Trump is out there demanding he do it. And so far, Biden's response is, yeah, I bet he wants to debate me. I bet he does. You know, his typical bully BS, you know, I'll take him out behind the gym and whoop his ass.
I'm going to say I think both can be true. I think he can be perceived as weak, but still have it be smart political calculus. You know, strong and stupid or weak and smart. They both have pros and cons. In the end of the day, I think the American people will probably look at it and go, does it make him look weak? Yeah, but is going to change my vote? Probably not. Like, how many people really say, oh, Biden's weak, he's not going to debate, therefore, although I was going to vote for him before, now I'm going to go to Trump.
Right.
Well, I don't think it'll move the needle, in which case, if you're Biden, why would you do it?
I just don't. Has there been a presidential election that did not have a debate prior to it?
Not in our lifetimes. No.
I think it sets a bad precedent for, you know, lack of transparency.
I'm a transparency guy. I'm with you. Okay, I think they should have a minimum of 3 head-to-head debates, 2 domestic, 1 foreign policy. They should be independently moderated. I think these questions should be answered or kill their mic and the other person gets time. Okay, I mean, we should force them to be transparent. I'd make the case if you don't do this for American people, you shouldn't be allowed on ballots.
Right. You're right.
That's how extreme I'd go. Well, I'd threaten them to do it.
And
you can't be president.
I can recall in the 2016 election that and even after Trump was elected, you heard people like Hillary Clinton and other, you know, former politicians say things like, well, he's destroying our norms. Well, to me, it's normal to have a presidential debate before we choose which president we're going to elect. And if Biden, that does destroy a norm.
I would agree with you again, but it's one of those things of my version is we keep devolving in America. We don't reach for higher highs. We keep pursuing lower lows.
Right.
And one, I'm not happy about that. Number two is that's a direct reflection of the lack of leadership through our federal government. It is completely related to the lack of leadership in this country, both politically and culturally. We are dumbing us down. We are making ourselves worse. And we, the voters, by the way, need to look in the mirror and own our small little sliver of that, in that we condone it. We allow it to continue. We vote these chuckleheads in, and we tolerate it. We allow them to be bad at what they do. We don't force the curve. Meaning, and by the way, I think 2024 is an inflection point. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. This, to me, is the weirdest election of my lifetime. And I think it's going to spawn a growth of third parties, third, fourth, fifth, et cetera, substantial shift, a paradigm shift, where the two-party system has failed us. We no longer will swallow it. We no longer will tolerate it. Therefore, we need other options. I think 2024 is that shift, and I think the people will not tolerate it anymore, thankfully.
So we'll tolerate this one, but the next one we're really going to.
Well, we don't have an option right now. It's,
right.
What is it, 7 months?
Yeah. We don't have an option. Biden has called for a unilateral ceasefire in Gaza. Apparently, he did it on Univision for at least 6 to 8 weeks. Is that why the IDF is pulled out of the south part of Gaza, or does it have something to do with the aid workers' accidental killing?
Why do you suppose he's now calling for a ceasefire?
The cynic in me says it's good for Hamas to reposition and get a break from the fighting. It's not good for Israel. It's not good for the hostages. You know, a ceasefire to do what? You know, so the cynic in me says this is good for Hamas, and it helps the slant of the left, which is very pro-Hamas and anti-Israel. And as backwards as that is, I mean, we still have demonstrations across our country at law schools that are pro-Hamas, anti-Israel. That's just insane to me that they would back a terrorist organization as opposed to one of our major allies.
So, right. I mean, they protested the Senate cafeteria, saying if Gaza doesn't eat, you shouldn't eat. About two dozen got arrested.
Right. And again, Hamas is a known terrorist entity. You know, put them in the same camp, you know, as Al Qaeda, as Taliban. They are a known terrorist organization. Yet the scholars, those are air quotes, in this nation at universities and the people in power are actually thinking that this is the right side of the fight to back. That's crazy land. Yeah, but the Democrats are going to run with this.
So
wow.
Even though the U.S. government has, at least the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, has said that the United States does not have evidence that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza, there is no evidence of genocide. We have no evidence of that. He said all these things. Will people stop parading around and asking to stop the genocide?
Will they stop asking that?
Right.
No,
well, now,
of course not. It's their soundbite.
Well, the U.S. Secretary of Defense has spoken. There is no genocide there. We don't see it. There's no evidence of it at all.
But it doesn't mean they won't keep using that soundbite.
Right.
They'll still use it. They'll still beat the drum. And the sheep that are out there that hear and react to it will still have that same reaction. Oh, they'll be appalled at genocide. It's like saying Trump's a racist. Okay, give me one example of him being racist. No one can give you the example, but they keep saying he's racist. Repeat that over infinite amount of topics that the agenda-driven mainstream media or the populace or the crowd-pushing, you know, demands, mob rules, so to speak. The more they scream, the more they repeat it, the more true it becomes.
True. What do you make of Biden's promise to take another swing at student loan cancellation, even though he's been told by the Supreme Court it's not an option?
This is one that just keeps me scratching my head. I know why he does it politically. I know why he keeps doing it to the media. What I don't understand is the lack of pushback by the Republicans. I truly don't. It's been deemed unconstitutional, but they don't get up there and beat him in the face with it at every time they can get in front of a microphone. Now, I will say this. The way he went about it before and the way he's going about it this way might be different. But if you're the Republicans, you need to paint that distinction, you know, and get him in court. Because this is wrong, by the way. This is a very small sliver of the country that have outrageous debt for their own benefit being canceled, forgiven, and shoved on to the mass population of this country.
Yeah.
You, I, the listeners right now, will be paying the check for this $1.6 trillion of student loans if he has his way. What insanity is that?
But my point is,
that's like paying for somebody else's house, paying for somebody else's car, paying for somebody else's boat. We're paying for their education that they benefited by. By the way, no one even talks about the other side of the equation, which is, I want you to forgive, annul your diploma. I want you to absolutely never use that to make a living. If you need a degree to work, you need to no longer have that job. Okay, I want the accountability on the institutions who gave up these horrific, loans and diplomas to people that should not have been in that college to get that degree to not be able to pay for it.
Right.
I want everybody held accountable. If we're going to go down this insanity of a rabbit hole, put them all in the same basket.
Let's move to Arizona.
Arizona State Supreme Court reveals that, yes, an 1864 law still on the books can be enforced. I guess it was on hold or at least was suspended during the years of Roe v. Wade. Now that that's over, it's back in effect. People, they can't believe it. They're like, how dare you? You can't do this. Well, it's done and it has been done. You know, you can't just go, well, you don't like that law. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to operate under it, blah, blah, blah. Do you, what is the reaction, do you think, or what reaction do you think will Trump give? I think he said they've done it wrong, but states' rights is Trump's bag. So I thought he would be behind this.
Well, it's the one of the unfortunate short-term reactions to what the Supreme Court did is, okay, we no longer at the federal level will do this. We're going to push back on Roe v. Wade. We're going to send it back to the state. There were, I think, 13 states that had these passive bills, bills that were sitting there that were oppressed by Roe v. Wade. The minute Roe v. Wade got pushed back to the states, these became triggered. So now, and these, some of these are archaically old. You know, 70, 100, 150 years old.
Right.
They've been sitting on the books. Boom. Now abortion's blatantly illegal or something like that. Zero tolerance. Okay. If you're the state, and a lot of states have done this, some states didn't, you need to change the state law. All laws can be changed within the state. There must be a procedure to it. There might be some limitations to it. You can do things like that. But you need to go through the process and affect the change so the state currently reflects the population and the beliefs and the culture currently. If the law is outdated, change the law. That's right. What legislatures are for. You know, so if they did it poorly and it got overturned and they're back to zero, write a different law. And if you're the Democrats and the Republicans, work together to get it done, because your state shouldn't suffer because you have bad governance from the 1860s. That's crazy land.
Right. Well, to me, the overwhelming sense I get is that people are like, well, who? That's too old. It's you know, that's not how we do things. It was different before, even though this law was there, and they just think it's something that can simply be ignored. But according to the state Supreme Court there, it's very much enforceable. So that's going to cause, in the meantime, a lot of places to close down and go out of business, the Planned Parenthoods and that, you know, and those, I would imagine.
It's going to cause a lot of disconnect and disruption, all for the wrong reason. I'm going to ask you a very simple question to you and the viewers. Do you believe that this country is in the headspace that zero tolerance, pro-life, absolute, no abortion, period, the end, no matter what, should rule any state in any way in this country?
No.
Do you think the bulk of this country sits on the no tolerance, zero abortion line? I don't think the bulk of this country does.
No.
There may be some of the, you know, pro-life camp, but I get to the bulk of this country is pro-choice on varying levels. Probably 70% of this country sits in the 15-week up to eternal, you know.
Right.
And if you start at zero, you're representing a minority, and that's bad faith in this country, as far as I'm concerned. You should represent the current day populace and the culture and the values of the day. That's what legislation should be doing for their states. So do that in good faith, pass it in good faith, and move on to actual governance opposed to social, you know,
right,
skewing.
The Pfizer 702 renewal did not pass today. They sent it back for more review. What do you suspect they want to change about that, John?
Oh, don't get me started on FISA. Oh, God, I hate FISA.
I do, too.
If you're going to, and again, this is what they have done since the Patriot Act. They tend to typically basket all this crap together so it doesn't get really looked at. The vote today was trying to split it out. It didn't pass. So now it's going to stay gobbledygook in the mix. So it's like a stew. You can't really pull out one ingredient from a stew. You know, like a salad, you can not eat the mushrooms, something like that.
But right.
In a stew, you can't pick out one thing. It all kind of meshes together. That's what politically they want to do and keep doing. It's bad for our country. I love transparency. I think we need to take a real, real hard look at FISA specifically.
My concern,
they are allowed to do so much behind the curtain, and it's so unhealthy for us. Yes, they need to have a certain procedure. It should not be as whimsical, flighty, lack of transparency, lack of evidence, and agenda-driven as it has been and is.
The interesting part is the carve-out that Congress gave themselves. Like, if they were under investigation, they needed to get a warrant to investigate them, and they needed to be notified that they were being the target.
No, they shouldn't get an extra level of protection. I hate when Congress creates a two-tiered approach. Healthcare for everybody else, but we get our congressional package. You know, that's what Obamacare was. They got a carve-out. I am not a fan of that. But again, there are people like the FISA court. If you want to go after somebody because they were talking, you talk to someone internationally. The international is what FISA was looking at. Now through FISA, they come back to you. Now they want to spy on you domestically, and that's okay. Now it's legal. I don't think that's legal. I think it's very, very, very shallow.
Every time
you whimsically like that.
Every time FISA comes around for renewal, which has been a few times, I think a few. We always hope that it'll go away because it was given an expiration date for a reason. We were told, right?
Well, put this way, I think it has a point and a purpose. What I don't like is they are really. And again, this is a slippery slope. Try saying that three times. of when you give them an inch, they take a mile.
Right.
If you say we're going to use it for this select purpose, well, then all of a sudden these chuckleheads in the deep state decide, well, but we want to go and do X, Y, Z with it. That's just an extension of what we're already doing. It's not being like, you know, once you know who you are, we're negotiating price that you're, you know, actually a whore. You know, we're not really deciding if you're a whore or not. Now that we know you're a whore, we're just deciding price. We're negotiating.
Right.
And that's the FISA is a bridge too far. They start to go all over the map, and they start to mislead. They did this with a whole bunch of documents regarding Trump. Well,
right.
They literally didn't tell the full disclosure, or they told half-truths to get their FISA warrant to go do what they want to do. You know, that's heinous. You're lying to the court by omission.
And we've seen it fail. Just as was predicted when it was first proposed at an opportune time when FISA, was people were behind it because it's going to stop terrorism. But we've seen that that's not necessarily the case ever, usually.
No, ever. Yeah. You know, and there are a lot of bad actions that have come from this. And very few good things have come from this. If you want to prove to me at the federal government level that something is worthwhile, you need to showcase your wins. I mean, a laundry list. We got these 100 bad guys because of this. And we infringed some privacy of, you know, these two or three people. But, you know, the 100 bad guys were worth it. Okay, now you're going to make more sense to me. What do you do for the two or three? Well, you know, they got X, Y, Z. You know, was there a give back? Was there a protection? Was there privacy maintained, although they were investigated? You know,
right?
Were they hurt by this? Question mark.
It stunk from the very
beginning.
Now,
I would say there's more damage being done than good.
I agree. John Jensen, thank you, brother. I appreciate your time. Find John where you get your social media at Fix the Nation. A great follow on X. Thanks, brother. Have a great week.
You too.
All right, buddy. See you. All right. Scrabble has changed their rules. A bunch of pussies. In order to appeal to Gen Z. I'll tell you what they did. Pussies. Mm-hmm. Terrible. When we return. And your remarks. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Florida Man Radio.
This is terrible. Scrabble. I like playing Scrabble. For the first time in 75 years, Mattel is making some serious changes to the game, touting a no more scoring option. A double-sided version of the famous board game, one side with the original game for those that want to stick to the long-time traditional version, and one side with a less competitive version to appeal to Gen Z gamers. The flip side of the classic game called Scrabble Together will include helper cards, use a simpler scoring system, and be quicker to play and allow people to play in teams. They found that Gen Z people don't quite like the competitive nature of Scrabble.
It's a game. I mean, why are you playing it if you're not being competitive? It's like trying to play Monopoly and everybody be happy.
Right.
Monopoly should end when the when someone flips the table over. That's the way the game ends.
Or gets caught with their hand in the till. Yeah. They want a game where you can simply enjoy language, words, being together, and having fun. Scrabble Together is made for those that find the classic game to be intimidating for people who have ever thought that word games aren't for me. Man, it's one of the...
Games just may not be for that person at that point.
Well, yeah, because all of these games, you're competing to win. Gen Z doesn't like to compete.
I mean, if someone is afraid that Scrabble is too competitive, they may want to stay home. Don't even get me started on boxing a game of Trouble or Connect Four.
Forget it. Battleship?
Yeah.
The new version.
They won't even know how to handle Reverse Four on Onuva. Oh no.
They include challenges like play a horizontal word, play a three-letter word, play a word that touches the edge of the board. The player that competes 20 challenges is the winner, while the player who used all their helper cards without completing the challenge is the loser. Once 20 gold cards are completed, the game is over. That's it. The new protocol is about scoring. No need to do math. And then you play shorter games. The game speaks to a trend in younger people that want to avoid competitive games instead of favoring teamwork and collaboration, working towards a fun goal together.
Hmm. Put a three-letter word down.
I like that game. It's fun. And they usually, hardcore players have a Scrabble dictionary with them.
Oh, yeah. If you try to put in a fake word.
Hold on there, buddy.
The classic, Quijbo.
Yeah. Quijbo. That's right. Right. Use a Q. Let's get to these remarks, shall we? From the Florida Man Radio app. Powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. The app is a... I don't know. It's an ocean. That's a good word. Podcast greatness in the archives, commercial free. A great way to call and to text the show. Also, hit that little microphone button and we hear you. Here we go.
Sounds like Lenny Kravitz is like the Steve Jobs of the music industry. Just has like one outfit for everything. Going to Bucky's, leather pants, see-through tank top. Going to work out, leather pants, see-through tank top. Going on stage, leather pants, see-through tank top. Simple.
Just like the black turtleneck.
Yeah, but do you think he stinks like Steve Jobs did?
Oh, that's right. Steve Jobs was known to have B.O.
Yeah, it was supposed to smell awful. Ugh. Between his diet and he didn't shower and...
We got a whole day's worth of Star Trek guy in the first segment. Listen, pal, quit drinking the bong water.
Hey, boys. Love the show. Heather, you do a good job, too. But tell me this. Am I the only one that laughs extra hard when Uncle Ted cracks himself up? Oh, that's the best. Be-do-be-do.
That is good. He can't get through it.
Hey guys, I was just making a little video of all this wind and watching these trees bending back and forth. And so I was like, we're under a tornado watch, supposed to have winds of 55 miles an hour and blah, blah, blah. So I got to the end and I go, beedoo, beedoo. I was like, oh, I think I'm talking to Shannon.
That's great advertising, Mary. Keep it up.
Hey, Shannon, what's happening? It's Blind Lawrence out of Huntsville, Alabama. In regards to this whole thing with Arizona and their take on abortion, If you guys want to hear a really funny take on abortion, check out George Carlin, his Back in Town album from 1996. The first 8 minutes, he talks about abortion, and then he spends 3 more minutes talking about the sanctity of life. The pieces really go together, and it is just brilliant. R.I.P. George Carlin.
Yeah. Thanks, Lawrence. But like all George Carlin, we'd probably have to preview it and edit it and
beep. Definitely not play it.
Beepity beep beep beep.
Every, I'm so sorry to call again, Every, but I love Matt from Laguna. Every, I just love that little story about his dog, but I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop and have him tell the story about how the dog attacked him and put him in the ICU for a month. God bless.
What's up, guys? Rory here. I listened to my open mic, and I guess I sounded a little insensitive earlier. So I'll say it like this, you know, I had a couple of friends of mine tell me within the last couple of days, hey Ray, you look like you're getting a little gut there. Didn't bother me at all. Not at all. I know I'm a beautiful individual, so I didn't care too much. But it's the truth, and I know it. I've been drinking a little too much Budweiser lately. Ray out. Beetle, beetle.
Ray looked down at his own waistline and going, hey, maybe I shouldn't, you know. I want to talk.
Ray is a beautiful man.
Yeah, I'm a beautiful man.
Back in the 1930s, in the mental institutes, they used to give patients a lobotomy by taking a skewer-type instrument and shoving it through the temple area and wiggling it up and down. And it would basically detach the frontal lobe from the rest of the brain, and the patient could still function as a human, but was like had no personality.
Yeah.
So there's that. B2B2.
The old lobotomy.
Yeah, I think they did that to Mary Kennedy. I want to say they did it. The Queen had one of her sisters got it done to her, too.
Really?
Yeah. A little ice pick up there and just a little stir around.
Where do you put it? I thought you put it in the eye, corner of the eye. You put it over here?
Through the nostril. Up
through the nostril. Yep. I hope they give you some anesthetic.
Oh, you're crazy. Why do you look here?
That'd be a hell of a job, wouldn't it? A Tommy Lee testicle expert?
I mean, you know, I saw the Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson video. Was it Pam Anderson? Yeah. I saw it. I'm no expert on it, though. But I did see that he could drive a car with it and a boat. Pretty impressive.
Miss Anderson, can you please confirm or deny if this was your ex-husband Tommy Lee's beanbag?
When it comes to string theory and dimensional physics, I always turn to Jack O'Neill, Daniel Jackson, Captain Samantha Carter, she's a whiz, and Teal'c on Stargate SG-1. Man, that's one of the best series. It's entertaining, and you learn a lot of stuff. Also, I watch a lot of Ancient Aliens, so, you know, I'm almost a string theorist myself.
String theory is the folding.
Yeah, that's the fold.
Folding of time, yeah.
We're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe gimmick.
We're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
Heather likes to keep her men straight.
Did she say that?
Way to go, Heather.
I'm also like, I'm going to have to go pull that clip.
Where she said, what?
What?
Do you realize you said that?
I didn't know I was on air.
Oh. That's awesome. You got to pull that.
Hey, this is Pap here from Florella. Tell Mr. Curtis up there, that down there in Crestview, that if anything with his blows up to Florella, Alabama, I'll give it a good home until he comes up and gets it. All righty. Talk to y'all guys later. Be-do, be-do. Oh, be-do, be-do, be-do.
We're supposed to get that storm tomorrow or in the afternoon or?
We're in our range is like 2 to 6. So exactly on the show is the extreme thunderstorm warning.
So if I had some balls, you're saying I would still ride the motorcycle, just park at the garage.
I wouldn't, because I've seen the footage, some of the storm cleanup already up there in the panhandle, and there's trees down and the wind's supposed to be really bad up there. So you know how difficult it is to get your bike around a fallen tree.
It's very difficult, yeah.
Look, the way I see it is if a guy wants to fight a lion, who are we to tell him he shouldn't do that?
Interesting. He said, look, it hurts, Shannon, and no, Tyson cannot train me. No man can train me because no man has ever fought a lion just as I plan to. It can be done, but it's very difficult. I like the idea with a potential viewing worldwide audience properly promoted could be a real big thing considering the worldwide appeal of combat entertainment in one fashion or another. Wrestling, MMA, boxing, kickboxing, sumo, etc. Blah, blah, blah. A great deal of soccer, football, hockey, rugby will still be, fans will be interested, and every sports bar on earth will be showing it. I think the worldwide appeal would be fantastic. Of course, it could be a little too close to it and see it as a bigger thing than it will be, but the key to any show is promotion and marketing. I'd love to know what a survey of people thought about the idea, if it could be big or not.
I'm going to have to check the tape, but I'm pretty sure the lion got Tyson in the through the reality show.
Did he?
I'm pretty sure I said the lion got Tyson.
Yeah.
So, of course, you can't have him in that one.
He's already resigned. He's probably going to die.
How long does he think he can keep it up? Like, he thinks I'm all on his side. Like, I'm interested.
He's in prison right now, serving his time.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm all for him to take this lion challenge on because, I mean, honestly, a lot of people would probably watch it now. Would it ever be televised? Probably not because they really most networks
blood
will not let
murder,
a man
get
mauled by a lion. But I'm curious how long he thinks he can keep this fight going.
I do think, though, that this tactic could be, because apparently a lot of people in this facility, this incarceration facility, listen to us. Maybe he's trying to make all the other people in the prison think that, don't mess with that dude. He's crazy. He's going to fight a lion, man. You don't want to mess with him. Keep away.
Yeah, let everyone else know in that facility that that man
you're fighting a lion.
Will fight a lion. So,
oh, I just learned that Spam is not a total quality product. And I like that Spam. Crispy with eggs and hot sauce. I wonder what that says about us who like Spammy things. Should we care? No, we shouldn't care.
I make no qualms about it. We got like two cases of it in our hurricane preparedness locker. Well, not anymore. Because we had two cases.
Case and a half.
Yeah, it's probably about a case and a half now. I've been dipping into it lately.
Howdy, guys. This is Nate in Bakersfield, California. You were talking about how there might not be a presidential debate between Biden and Trump. I think Trump, he could come out of this smelling like a rose. If Biden doesn't want to debate him, he could just come out and say, okay, I'll do a debate with RFK Jr. because Biden is not man enough to debate me. And I think that would pull a lot of voters from Biden onto RFK.
That's a great idea. The requirements to be, to get on a debate can sometimes be a little bit, you got it to be a certain percent, you got to poll at a certain percentage point, blah, blah, blah. But what seems a little unfair because the unpopular guy may not have the dough to get his word out there. The debate is an opposite, an appropriate place to do that.
I mean, that's our politics in a nutshell, though. If you don't have enough money, you don't get to be on the stage.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's interesting when the Patriot Act came out, I put the Patriot Act up against the Constitution, and I began to realize very quickly that the Patriot Act is nothing more than the exact opposite of the Constitution. And I would challenge anybody who disbelieves to go out there and try the very thing. Put them together, see what you think, make your own determination. Bidu bidu.
Yeah, it does run completely afoul of in spirit and in word of the Constitution.
What's up, fellas? Yeah, so that John Jensen, when he was talking about the FBI laundry list of successes, I want to see one or two that didn't involve them from the very beginning hyping somebody up. Like this most recent one, the church guy, this kid was going to kill these people. His plan was to use the baton to beat up churchgoers and then kill them with a knife. And they played it like he had a plan to kill 20 churches full of people. Every one of their busts is nonsense. It's all them.
The whole Scrabble thing is exactly what we've talked about before. It's these kids haven't had time out. They've been reasoned with. Yeah. Everybody got a trophy. The Easter Bunny at my house, always hid an odd amount of eggs. There was no way there was not going to be a winner and a loser. And
yes!
That's how kids, they have no concept.
Oh, Kat, you're awesome. That is awesome. She made sure that someone was going to have more than the other. When we first moved here 23 years ago, my daughter was in a YMCA soccer league, and they asked me if I wanted to coach. And I'm like, well, I'm going to come out and see some games first, and because I have a, I played a lot of it. And I saw the games, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not really, you know, it's every single player that in that league got a trophy. None higher than the other, all the same size. No one got first place. They all got a, and the level of competition was like, I'd be watching a game and trying to yell on, you know, my daughter and other people. Then I'd see their goalkeeper, like, be distracted by a butterfly on the field and been pointing at it and walk way away from the goal. Somebody kicks the goal in. It's really.
It's about right.
Yeah. That's so great, Kat. Thank you.
Well, what do we expect from the trophies for everyone generation? You know, that there's no winners. There's no. So when you're in the game, everyone goes, "Whoa, that was great. High five." Like, what? I mean, this is so ridiculous. How is this country going to survive with these folks running things?
Hey, tell John Jensen, thanks a lot. I'm taking my buddy to the hospital. We were playing the NK drinking game, and he's not doing too good.
I don't even notice it anymore. Hello, John.
Just thinking about it, I used to play Scrabble a lot, but just imagine playing Scrabble with Bubba. Oh my God, that'd be so funny. What the hell is this word? This game's stupid.
It would be you know, I don't know if it's on purpose or not, but Bubba likes to massacre some words. Elon Musk is Elon Musk. Ron DeSantis is Ron DeSantos. A genre of music is a genre.
What do you mean Quajimotes isn't a word?
Huh?
I got Q, I got Z, Quajimotes.
All right.
Tunde Tono. Hey, Ray Ray, repeat after me. I feel pretty, oh so pretty. I feel pretty and witty and gay. Beta beta.
I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy.
Ah, we know. Oldest joke.
String theory is having to do with like this. There's 13 different dimensions and all this. It's what Eric Weinstein calls BS physics. That's crushed physics for the last 50 years because it isn't what's real. And he's got another theory to it. But
all right, we got to start monitoring the two. Delivery, especially that guy. It's like eight deep.
I thought that fighting a tiger thing was a joke. He doesn't need to take a survey. It's dumb. Just don't do it. It's like animal abuse.
No, it will be human abuse, I believe. Right?
Also, yeah, it'll be a culled lion anyway.
What?
A culled lion. They have to remove certain lions out of the territory anyway after a certain period of time.
Oh, yeah. He also wants, he said he'd like to find the date, which I spoke about the lion fight, so he can get his people to get him a transcript. I'd like to tell you, I'm the bearer of bad news. I don't know where you're going to, we don't provide transcripts here. You just have to get someone to listen to the, you know,
listen to it real slow and type it up.
Type it up. Type like a son of a bitch. He says the lion will potentially be 400 pounds. This guy's really into this lion fight.
Why did he pick a lion, though?
Probably because it's like got a biblical mane.
It's like the biblical implications to the Roman lion, Christians.
A tiger would be sufficient, right?
You fight a hippo or something like that.
No, hippos are...
I know, yeah.
They're worse.
I can't remember the name of the show, but this certain character, they had the same outfit for each day of the week. And they had seven sets of clothes. And it was a shirt and same colored pants. Can you imagine seeing Lenny Kravitz's closet if it was like that? Fishnet shirt for Monday, leather pants for Monday, fishnet shirt for Tuesday, and so on and so on. I don't know. Kind of caught me as funny.
My grandfather wore the same thing to work every day. And he was a farmer. He was a property owner. They're khaki pants and a matching khaki shirt that was long sleeve with pockets with the flaps and the buttons, black belt, black boots, gray Stetson. Every day. And his closet.
Was that all the way through?
Yes. He had a big walk-in closet, literally probably had 30 of the shirts underneath them, 30 of the slacks, one drawer of a ton of black socks and whatever. And he wore like a wife beater undershirt. Everything, same thing every single day.
What if RFK is the plant and we fall for it? Beat it.
I don't know.
Hi, Shannon. The only thing I'm upset about is there's no safe space. There's no safe space in the Scrabble game. I'm mad. I tell you, I'm mad.
In Scrabble, are any words off limits? Like, can you use profoundly racist words? And as long as it is a word and is a noted word, even though it's offensive, it still counts? That's what they need to do.
It depends on the rules. I think there are
offensive Scrabble. Every word, the more offensive it is, the more you score.
Yeah. If you put down the word and your grandmother gasps, then you get extra points.
Trophies should never be the same size, and there should only be 1, 2, 3, first, second, and third. Because when are you going to go for the big one? It has to be bigger. And then the medium one, and then the little one.
You guys know what to do.
Yeah, she said it.
Hi, this is Darlene from Polk County. What's a bean bag?
Darlene, it's a bee-doo. I think what she's referring to is bee-doo.
Or she was talking about Tommy Lee's bean bag.
Oh, Tommy Lee's bean bag. Ma'am, Darlene, that is a scrotum containing two testicles. That's a bean bag. And thank you, Darlene. Where was she from? Polk County? We love Grady Judd here. One more time.
Hi, this is Darlene from Polk County. What's a bean bag?
Yeah, it's not the traditional bean bag you're probably thinking of, Darlene, at the cornhole.
Yeah,
it's a completely different deal. This is more of an anatomical bean bag. Ask your husband, probably knows.
Man, I heard y'all talking about Drunk Tammy, man. I mean, it sounds like my buddy Pork Chop's girlfriend, but we're up here in the panhandle, but I don't reckon it's her. All right, beady.
What did he say at the beginning?
Talking about Tammy.
Oh.
Sounds like Pork Chop.
Man, girlfriend. I heard y'all talking about Drunk Tammy, man. I mean, it sounds like my buddy Pork Chop's girlfriend.
That's definitely not her.
Do I really need to repeat what Kate said?
No.
Masturbating ever since.
Those are the remarks for today. Outstanding. Thank you very much for participating. We'll take our final break here to come back and wrap it up for you. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Go.
The daughter of Winona Judge, her name is Grace Kelly, has been arrested. 27-year-old arrested in Alabama, charged with indecent exposure and obstructing government operations, according to the Elmore County Sheriff's Department. Grace Kelly exposed her breasts and her lower body. Does that mean she's totally nude?
Like she had her shirt pulled up. I think she had her pants down around like her ankles. Like she went for the full peep show.
Right on the corner of Interstate 65 and Highway 14 in Millbrook, Alabama, officers attempted to arrest her. She would not identify herself and instead sat down on the side of the road while refusing to comply. The second child of Winona and ex-husband Arch Kelly, Grace is a mother to a young daughter, had several run-ins with the law. She was once sentenced to 8 years in prison for violating probation. She served 8 years at West Tennessee State Penitentiary. Grace's probation was revoked in 2018. Grace was given an 8-year sentence. for Schedule II drugs, meth, and another 4-year sentence for evading arrest. Well, not a very rarely discusses this, but she did say, I'll tell you this, my daughter's the strongest Judd woman in our history. She's healthier than I was at 23. How she got there, I'd not go that way, but I was sequestered. See, I was on a bus with my mother. I was hard to get in trouble. So that could have been me, John, if I didn't have music. Mm-hmm. That's why she's nude on the side of the...
Yeah, I don't think Winona was showing her beaver on the side of the road.
So. Interstate 65 and Highway 14.
I don't know if she was the strongest.
But music could have saved her. That's it for us today. Thank you, EZ.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
We're back tomorrow. 2 Eastern, 1 Central. We follow the Don Miller Show. Hysterically funny and poignant show with a great insight. He follows Bubba the Love Sponge. Guns, drugs, nude women, and lesbians. We'll see you tomorrow on the Florida Man Radio Network. My name is Shannon Burke. See you tomorrow.